Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
It is Friday. Thank you for joining us. The 19th day of December 2008. We'll be live here for the next 4 hours. And in the last 2 hours, we'll be live at PrisonPlanet.tv today. Joining us in 1 hour, Bob Chapman, the international forecaster, to break down the latest developments this week in the economy as he joins us now every Friday. We have Richard Gage, Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth, joining us, rescheduling from last week. And Russell Wood, President of the Property Rights Congress, protecting hunting rights and land rights in Missouri. He's coming on because all over the country, not just Missouri, but they're fighting it there. They're now telling landowners, and this is really a federal initiative through the states, that not only do you have to buy hunting and fishing licenses, but you've got to basically pay a fine and a fee and sign up with the government and register your land to even be able to hunt on your own land. Not to have hunters on your land, to hunt yourself on your own land. They are just massively increasing the amount of game wardens and Department of Land Management groups around the country. Most states, it's been decades since they've ever prosecuted any type of commercial poaching operation. It isn't about poaching. We have deer and coyotes in every major city running out in front of cars. People are dying in every major state every day from hitting deer. It isn't about managing the wildlife. It isn't about stopping over hunting or grazing or anything like that. It is about control and taxation all across the country. Hunting licenses are going way up, and they're telling folks on the news, you know, they say it's a privilege to hunt. It's a privilege. And they tell you driving's a privilege, and they tell you owning a gun's a privilege. And if they can sell the public that it's a privilege, then they'll be able to basically get one over on us and bring in a greater level of feudalism and tyranny. It is not a privilege to own a firearm. It is not a privilege to hunt on your own land. It is not a privilege. We are not slaves of this corrupt, degenerate bureaucracy that has taken over our nation. So we'll be talking to Russell Wood coming up in about 3 hours from now on that subject in the fourth hour today. In the meantime, boy, is there a lot of news in front of me today. U.S. Corps of Engineers caught harassing activists on the Internet. And this is from WWL Television. And they did the same thing we do. The Army Corps of Engineers, the Marine Corps, CENTCOM, the Army Psychological Warfare Divisions, they don't care. They've been told that it's okay to engage the American people. The military has admitted in press releases that they're, quote, fighting disinformation on the web. And it is illegal under federal law, but they still do it. They don't care. And they put their handles in the message boards, in the comments, when they lie about you and threaten you and spin things about you. And then you can just Google their handles, and you'll be on their own Facebook websites or their own Army subpage or on MySpace, and there they are in their uniform. And then this particular watchdog group and the media, this particular TV station, they went and tracked the IPs back, not just the handles, not just their usernames, but the IP addresses directly to the Army. Now, we have this tens of thousands of times a day. Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com are being hit by military IP addresses and government IP addresses, National Security Agency, CIA, foreign governments, the Kremlin, Japanese diet. Most of that is just people in government who are fans of the show or interested in what we're doing, or somebody following a link from another website and you know, just surfing the web. But a lot of it, we've been able to track it directly back, is coming out of CENTCOM and NORTHCOM. And these guys go on there and say, we're going to kill you. You're a traitor. You're a communist. There is no North American Union. There is no plan to put military on the streets. It doesn't matter if it's on the news. When we report it, they go on and say we're liars. So they're running psyops against us. And let me tell you something, boys and girls, it is not working. You're just showing everybody who you are. So that's one of the articles. I only got into one of them. There's about 20 important stories in front of me. So we'll cover that. Kissinger calls for world government again on Charlie Rose. Bush is saying the automakers have to be nationalized. Stay with us.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
All right, let me run through the headlines of the day, then I'll go back into more detail, into a few of them. U.S. Corps of Engineers caught harassing activists on the Internet. Mainstream news. Kissinger, Obama, crisis could yield opportunities for New World Order. Automakers to get $17.4 billion, but Ford doesn't want it because it says the federal government will take control of the companies and then hand it over to their private cronies. Pro-sovereignty party reluctant about pledging allegiance to the Queen. Globe and Mail reports that, yes, the Queen really does run Canada, and they have a new party being sworn in as a minority member in the parliament, and they're saying they don't want to swear allegiance to her. They thought the country was free and not under colonial rule. Emanuel talked directly to the governor of Illinois, Blagojevich. Of course he did. This is being reported by the Chicago Sun-Times. I mean, Rahm Emanuel, Barack Obama, and, of course, Governor Blagojevich all came up together, and Rahm Emanuel was both of the men's handlers. I mean, they're best friends. So, of course, there was a deal to sell the Senate seat to Jesse Jackson Jr. or others. We know that they were all in the bidding. We don't know if they were individually even involved, but the power brokers above them were. This is how government works. This is what government has turned into. There's now a story out, Nobel Prize probe launched, and it's talking about, you know, was the Nobel Prize purchased? Because the new Nobel Prize for medicine is going to the inventor of the HPV vaccine. Well, we know the type of things that Merck does. We know the type of things that Pfizer does. We know the type of things that these companies are continually caught doing. This is only the tip of the iceberg, so we'll be reporting on that as well. Big story I just mentioned yesterday, I want to spend some more time on today with Richard Gage when he joins us. And yes, we have April Gallup's phone number. We've been calling her since yesterday. We missed a call back from her, so we're playing phone tag with her. She was the Pentagon specialist who was there and clearly knew that a plane, according to her, did not crash into the building. She's now filed a suit. Remember, about 6 months ago, she was on trying to raise funds on air from the listeners, and I guess you did come through. So they filed a suit alleging that it was a government conspiracy to carry out the attacks. And so she's now filed that lawsuit. We'll be going over that as well today. Also, this story broke about 2 weeks ago, and we first covered it at Infowars.com. Now, WorldNet Daily has picked up on the story. Armed officers raid home, hold mom, kids for 6 hours. Health department cops allege licensing issue over food co-op. And they sell their farm-fresh organic eggs and grain there, and other farmers bring it there. It's only been around a few years. It's a small co-op for people that want organic. And it doesn't matter. They raided them with a SWAT team, held them at gunpoint, stole their computers, family belongings, you name it. And they're also now raiding people that are even giving neighbors milk. So Mexican troops are attacking and killing police every month on the border between the U.S. and Mexico. There's rocket attacks, 7,000 dead total in Mexico and on the border, 2,000 dead just on the Texas-Mexico border this year. Complete cities just shut down, you know, big 10-story hotels that, you know, I visited and stayed at on the border closed. Everything basically shuttered. Total corruption spreading everywhere. Truck bombs going off in Dallas. It makes it in the back of the newspaper when the Mexican mafia kills people. But don't worry, though. They're hiring thousands of new game wardens per state to harass everyone. They're going to make you pay fines and fees to hunt on your own property above the license, register your property, waive all your rights to be able to hunt. That's how they trick you in contract fraud. Just total micromanagement, 88 new taxes in New York State, hundreds of new taxes being erected in other states, just total government frothing and grabbing and stealing and regulating everybody. Military to be on high alert for inauguration. So they'll be our saviors there to keep Obama safe. Military on the streets selling you, you know, with that image. Everybody in the world, billions will be watching the inauguration. There'll be troops everywhere patrolling the streets, all a big conditioning move. CNN meteorologist, man-made global warming theory is arrogant and a lie. See how long he has his job, or maybe he'll be on at 3 a.m. now on CNN. I'm going to try to get him on. So that's some of the news there that we have as well. I want to get into this first, though, before we run out of time here today. Now, I'm going to play this clip and then stop it periodically and make comments. U.S. Corps of Engineers caught harassing activists on the Internet. This is only the very surface of what's going on with the disinformation corps from Homeland Security, from NORTHCOM, and from every branch, not just of the military, but every other federal agency, admittedly, has billions. The smallest agencies have billions, billions, according to congressional reports, billions of dollars for fake news, PR, propaganda, fake newscast, and paid bloggers. Huge office buildings across the United States are filled with paid propagandists with scripts to follow to attack land rights groups, Second Amendment groups, hunting rights groups, groups that want to control our borders, and groups that are against the North American Union. And they go around, you know, we can post a link to CNN and Vicente Fox saying, yes, it's a North American Union, yes, we're setting it up, and out of a financial crisis, we will get it. That's what the SPP said 3 years ago. We had to sue to get the documents. That's how we know what was going to happen, because we get their own documents. Now, we would post that link, just one example, and there would be hundreds of posts under it in the comments saying, you're liars, this is fake, this video isn't real. We would post the SPP documents from FOIA suits and with a link to Judicial Watch that originally got them. They will come in, the Army will come in, other bureaucracies will come in, and they will say, you are a liar, you are scum, you're a communist, you're making money off this, you're a liar. It's classic COINTELPRO. So let's go ahead and roll this clip and we'll analyze this newscast.
Next on Nightwatch, Levies.org says it has discovered attacks posted on its blogs are coming from inside the Army Corps of Engineers.
Just a few days ago, I discovered some solid evidence that showed that the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers had been systematically logging onto my blog and leaving comments that are attempting to shift responsibility for the New Orleans flooding away from the civil engineering profession and instead onto the citizens who live here.
From WWL-TV, the spirit of Louisiana, this is Louisiana's news leader, Channel 4's Eyewitness News Night Watch.
Some technical problems with the lottery. We'll bring that to you later on. Good evening. I'm Dennis Woltering in for Mike Haas.
And I'm Lucy Bustamante. So should government computers be used to attack citizens who are working to hold government agencies accountable?
That's the question Levies.org is asking after its founder says she discovered computer equipment at the Corps of Engineers has been used to send messages attacking her group.
The citizens watchdog group Levies.org operates two internet blogs. And in recent months, the group's founder, Sandy Rosenthal, says she's noticed increasingly ferocious attacks against her, Levies.org, and its supporters in messages from at least two screen names.
They go after my credibility. They accuse me of making up data.
Levies.org has strongly criticized the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers for the levee failures that led to catastrophic flooding after Hurricane Katrina. And Rosenthal says the recent attacks on her blogs have had a recurring theme.
They're trying to send, and that message is that the locals blocked the Corps' wishes.
All right, let's stop right there. Back it up a few seconds. Okay. Number one, this is not the Army Corps of Engineers' fault. Let's get that straight. So there's always red herrings, within distractions, within diversions, wheels within wheels on this. The federal government squandered and stole the money in contracts, and that came out. The local county government, the parish government, the city government as well was involved stealing the money, giving the bids to their cousins and brothers and family members. And that's all come out on record. This has all been intensely investigated. That is a red herring. We're not playing this clip here to talk about who's really at fault for all of this. We're talking about the military in the United States going into blogs and attacking people and attacking this organization. So there's enough blame to go around. Now, the Army Corps of Engineers was not involved with FEMA going in and cutting police and fire department radio and cell phone internal towers down. And the local police at gunpoint had to post guards, and then they caught FEMA cutting the fence, coming in again to hack down with fire axes the major police radio communications center. Now, they cut it as the hurricane was over the city. Then it went past, dumped all the rain. That came in, broke the levees, some suspicious things there and witnesses of bombs going off. The federal government admits that, what, back in the 20s, they did blow the levees, so that's also where that idea comes from. We don't know. The point is, we do know that FEMA wanted things to be a disaster, so they cut police communications, and that's why two-thirds of the police just went home, because their radios were down, their radios were off, and then it came out 2 days later that FEMA had cut all the communications as the storm hits. Now, why would they do that? You know, that adds evidence that they probably did blow the levees. And you say, why? To have a big disaster, to say they screwed up, to have a beta test, a laboratory test. They admit it was a laboratory test about gun confiscation, bringing troops in under FBI command, bringing Blackwater in, bringing Israeli Mossad in. Oh, you didn't know Israeli Mossad. That was actually on PBS. We've played that clip here with Bill Moyers. So all of this is going on. All of this is happening, and FEMA cut the lines, and then the police finally, days later, had to fix it and guard it. They wouldn't let other good branches or branches of the military trying to do a good job, like the Coast Guard was trying to bring in, you know, thousands of gallons of diesel. They were blocked. Firefighters and police groups all over the country that showed up, they were blocked because FEMA wanted to have the biggest crisis they could there to say, oh, look, we screwed up. We need even more power. And that's now come out. But when we come back, that's a side issue. The main issue is government, bureaucracies, agencies, not just the military. They are on the web full time. Private groups that are contracted are on the web full time attacking anyone that criticizes the government. Bob Chapman coming up, then Richard Gage, then Russell Wood, and then we've got the Buckeye Institute suing the state up there for raiding organic farmers at gunpoint. That's right, the Bob Dylan song comes true. Someday growing your own garden will be against the law. But if you want to steal trillions out of pension funds, go ahead. You want to put poison in the water supply? Go ahead. You want to be the government and run narcotics into the country? Go ahead. Just total corruption.
That's right.
The government is illegitimate. And that's why hundreds of agencies, there's hundreds, and they're all out there full-time battling the American people. That's why half the billboards I see around the country now are government propaganda. Turn in your neighbors if they spank their kids, turn in your neighbors if they smoke pot, spy on your neighbors. Oh, the government loves you. Oh, the government's good. The messages, it's just everywhere. You know, report illegal guns, shows a picture of a revolver. Your neighbor then thinks the guns are illegal when they're not, creating the perception that normal behavior is illegal because we have a criminal system that wants an excuse to feed on us. And most good people, if the government shows up with an official badge and uniform and says you've done something wrong, people will put up with tyranny if it has that official cover. Let's go back to a little bit more of this news piece about the Army Corps of Engineers going around engaging in black ops.
Blocked the Corps' wishes. And thus that the locals are responsible for the flooding.
A comment sent by someone using the screen name Overwrought last Thursday says, quote, sure, blame the Corps for the flood wall failures, but who do you blame for your own stupidity for putting your families in such a situation? A comment from a user with the screen name Steve O'Nollins on November 18th says, quote, you have chosen core bashing to persuade enough underinformed people that Katrina was a federal flood. Then the rest of the nation will pour even more money into the sinkhole of New Orleans. Rosenthal was curious. Who could the comments be coming from? So she plugged the screen names into an internet search to find out.
Yes, I was absolutely amazed.
The first thing she turned up was this.
This is Headquarters, U.S. Army Information System Command.
Then an even bigger surprise. She discovered the computer gear some of those messages came from belongs to USACE, the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers.
Okay, that's enough. That's enough. You can watch the rest of it up on prisonplanet.com and infowars.com. The issue here is not the thing being debated. It's that the military runs around masquerading as average citizens engaging in this type of propaganda. And that's nothing. You can go to InfoWars.com, PrisonPlanet.com. You can go to the Prison Planet Forum, and they'll be in there saying, I can't wait to kick you civilians' teeth in. I can't wait to kill you. Yes, it's a new world order. I mean, just, you know, Alex is a communist Al-Qaeda, and we are going to kill him. And then we go check the IP address, folks. It's from the military. And then you can check it. It's not just from the soldiers, you know, on their off time using computers. It's from commands. It's from Northcom. It's from CENTCOM mainly. And you can go to YouTube. They don't even care. They'll put their handle on there. And people say, well, you could, you know, somebody could be faking their handle. No. They'll be on there saying, kill Alex Jones, kill the you know, the Patriots, you know, the New World Order's good, or the New World Order doesn't exist. Then you Google their handle, and it takes you to their MySpace, their Facebook, or other sites, and they're saying similar stuff next to their picture on their own page. I mean, they'll even post videos of troops and contractors killing innocent Iraqis. Those hundreds of videos of them machine gunning families, shooting cars up, and they're laughing. And then they'll always have weird heavy metal music with other fan videos for the military showing the troops slaughtering people. I mean, this is just dark stuff. These guys have gone completely over to the dark side. Now, certainly, the majority of the military is not like that. But the social engineers, they sift through all these people, and they take the unstable psychopaths, the sociopaths, the psychopathic sadist, and they promote them into command positions. You know, that came out with 29 Palms in the mid-1990s. They said, will you fire on U.S. citizens under PDDs, under presidential decision directives? Will you confiscate guns for national security emergency? And 76% said no. Well, they took the 24% that said yes, and they promoted them. And they put them into the FBI. They put them into the DEA. They put them into FEMA. And they now have giant armies. And they also fence them into private mercenary firms, not just doing military things, but intelligence gathering, spying, black ops, dirty tricks. And so the number of them is unknown, but we know to coordinate between them. They have 26,000 preachers brainwashed to work with them and tell their flocks to stand down, to hit the streets, TV and radio, and 23,000 corporate executives who've been given shoot-to-kill orders against U.S. citizens under orders. So, I mean, this is a huge invisible empire all around us that work for the criminals that are now looting the economy. We'll talk about the latest chapter on that front when we get back, and people having the police come after them for cough drops. Stay with us.
I hear the train coming, it's rolling around the bend, and I ain't seen the sunshine since I don't know when. I'm stuck in Folsom Prison, and time keeps dragging on. But that train keeps rolling on down the San Antonio. When I was just a baby, my mama told me, son, always be a good boy, don't ever play with guns. But I shot a man in Reno.
We are back live. Just thank you for joining us on this die. Friday the 19th, 2008. Only 12 days left in this year, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, automakers to get $17.4 billion, but all those are loan guarantees. Still, the economy will be in shambles, and people won't be able to buy automobiles or even pay for the cheap gas. The White House announced a $17.4 billion rescue package for the troubled Detroit automakers that allows them to avoid bankruptcy and leaves many of the big decisions for the incoming Obama administration. This is out of the Wall Street Journal. That's a nice way of telling folks it's being nationalized. And if you read the plan, it says the White House, think of the power over those unions, over all those millions of workers, 3 million workers. Think of the power that will give the fascist running our country. You notice Bush is setting it up for him, passing the baton to Barack Obama, and then they can play games with the workers. They can use the workers as a political weapon. Speaking from the White House, President George W. Bush said the administration decided against forcing a bankruptcy to compel cost-cutting, but in the language it says they can force a bankruptcy, in order to avoid the risk that consumers would desert one or more of the companies and touch off an industry collapse, deepening the current economic downturn. In the midst of a financial crisis, allowing the U.S. auto industry to collapse is not a responsible course of action, Mr. Bush said. And he goes, under ordinary economic circumstances, I would say this is the price of failed companies must pay. Remember, he said that right before the banker takeover 8 weeks ago. And I would not favor intervening to prevent the automakers from going out of business, the president said. But these are not ordinary circumstances. The deal would extend $13.4 billion in loans to General Motors and Chrysler LLC in December, and January another $4 billion likely available in February. It would also provide the government with non-voting warrants. Although the exact amount was unclear immediately, Ford Motor Co. has said it doesn't need short-term assistance. The deal is contingent on companies showing that they are financially viable by March 31st. If they aren't, the loans will be called and all funds will be returned, officials said. And it goes on to say the deal generally tracks key provisions of the bailout legislation that nearly passed Congress this month, but in relatively lenient in allowing the companies to show their viability. It defines viability as having a positive net pressure valve, a way of gauging the company's worth, taking into account all the future obligations. So what's happening here is they're going to give this $17 billion to begin with to GM and Chrysler. Ford doesn't want it because if you really read the legalese, it says the president and the Department of Commerce and the Department of Treasury and others will have the power to force bankruptcies or other serious decisions over the automakers, the two that are talking about taking the funds. Now, remember what happened with the banker takeover bill known as the banker bailout 8 weeks ago. And again, we haven't gotten new numbers in 2 weeks now. 2 weeks ago, the last numbers we got was $8.5 trillion taken by the Federal Reserve that U.S. taxpayers will have to pay back at interest. And they are telling Congress and the media, even under lawsuits, four-year lawsuits, and the feds have ruled saying, no, it's secret, that no one will be told where the money went. But the companies themselves are bragging. Hundreds of billions of dollars that we know of the trillions has been publicly given to the brokerage firm and big central bank employees. I mean, some of these CEOs have gotten hundreds of millions of dollars apiece. So right in front of everyone, they are giving themselves bonuses and huge increases in their overall pay packages. Same thing, the House just passed a huge pay increase for the Congress. Hillary Clinton has been confirmed, as you know, for Secretary of State, or is being confirmed. That doesn't seem to matter that under the Constitution, you can't leave the Senate in your term and go to another branch that you have raised the pay of. And the Senate, what, last year, raised the pay of the executive. Doesn't matter if that's a felony, violation of federal law, U.S. Code, Constitution. Clearly in the subsections, they just don't care. Again, they are completely lawless. They are practicing legalese to set precedents to break any law they want whenever they want. So remember, they told us, look, just give us this unlimited power that the bill states. And we promise we'll be transparent. We promise we will tell you everything we're spending it on. We promise that we won't give CEOs or employees bonuses or pay increases. In fact, there'll be pay cuts. But none of that was in the bill, the 500-and-something page bill. Well, I went and scanned over it. I read the versions. We would always be reading the 2 or 3 or 4 day old version while they were voting on the newest version. But days after it passed, sure enough, it was just like the other versions. It said that they are omnipotent above the law, that the Federal Reserve can issue its own treasuries, that they can basically seize any part of the economy they want, that they could take quadrillions, you know, thousands of trillions if they wanted to, that they can fully debase the currency. But remember, in the short term, they're busy buying up real assets and taking the money and leveraging it in more derivatives actions and openly buying up insurance companies that are healthy and banks that are healthy, regional banks that didn't get involved in the derivatives that are doing quite well. Remember they had the head of Goldman Sachs in an interview with the New York Times a month ago bragging, going, yeah, man, this is great for us. We're buying up good banks and insurance companies and, well, we're going to, you know, pay our employees more. Now, they are laying off the service ends. When you hear Bank of America and Citibank and Wells Fargo and J.P. Morgan Chase, when you hear that they're laying off 20,000 here, 30,000 there, 40,000 here, 50,000 there, they're laying off, and you can go read it. It's in the news. I mean, the details are there. They're hiring low level. They're getting rid of the low level people that would give you retail loans, that would help you get a housing loan or a car loan or a business loan. Bank tellers. They're closing bank branches. So they're retail end because they don't need you anymore. They're killing the old economy. They're consolidating it. They are destroying it by cutting off liquidity so they can buy it up for pennies on the dollar. And the FDIC, the Federal Depositors Insurance Corporation, just yesterday announced a new regulation. It's not a law, but they have omnipotent power. It's tyrannical, illegitimate power, but they have it. That, oh, by the way, no new banks, this is in the Wall Street Journal, no new banks are allowed to open. See, this is a banking consolidation. There are lots of groups and companies and individuals that are cash rich that didn't get invested in all these scams, but they're not allowed to go out and start new banks. So this is a vertical integration, a blowing out of the insolvent banks, consolidating them under the three majors in the U.S., the five majors worldwide, and then forcibly buying up solvent banks and insurance companies at the regional and local level. And how are they doing that? Well, if a Texas bank, for instance, I know of one case just a few weeks ago, didn't want to sell, but federal regulators came in and said, we're going to be real easy on all your executives, and we're going to give you sweetheart jobs within the larger infrastructure. It's a corporate takeover. And if you don't do it, here are the federal regulators. They're going to white glove inspect you. See, the laws are written where nobody can follow all the laws. And then selectively, the elites can break all the laws, do whatever they want, break the serious laws. But then anybody who doesn't play ball with them, well, they can be destroyed by the bureaucracy. And see, the globalists have to destroy or buy up your local banks because they have to have liquidity cut off to the public. And so if you have hundreds and hundreds of solvent local and regional banks that are quite wealthy, that are still going to be giving loans, still going to be financing business and construction, they have to be bought up so the management changes so that doesn't happen. So, again, this is a military strike with military precision. All of this is being done. This is economic warfare, which will then go into physical military occupation and oppression, just as our military has been used in hundreds of other third world nations to carry out the same chain of events. They've just been going at a slower pace here in the United States, being more careful about it, because we are quite a system to bring down and very dangerous in our death throes. Now, a lot is being said about the $50 billion Mr. Madoff stole from his family, his sons, and predominantly Jewish charities and investment groups. Steven Spielberg, the list goes, Mort Zuckerman, the list goes on and on. But the banks are being very secretive about their investments with him worldwide in the United States, Bank of Scotland, Bank of England, all of them, German banks, Russian banks, Dutch banks. I mean, the list goes on and on. There's hundreds of them. There's lists on the web, listed in the news. They won't release just how much they've been exposed, but it is rumored to be well in excess of $50 billion or more itself. Now, remember, that's only one guy, and they're trying to act like now he was just some bottom feeder, nobody. No, this was the founder and the former head of the NASDAQ, the second largest stock exchange on the planet. This guy had central banks of the world investing with him, and the media is now having to admit in the Wall Street Journal, in the Times of London, and other publications that all the major brokerage firms were doing what he was doing, that all of the major banks were doing this. So what he was doing was kosher. What he was doing is what the system is engaged in. I mean, look at it. We've got all these governors getting arrested. We've got all this corruption. I mean, every day in the local paper in Austin, it's some quasi-private utility running scams. The PEC review details past abuses of power, and then it lists just millions of dollars missing and gone and stolen. And that's just some local lower, you know, Pernalis Electrical Authority, some little low-level thing. I mean, it's just, it's a crime machine. It is a horde of locusts in three-piece suits that took over our governments, took over our counties and cities, ratcheted up all these taxes, which were then paid into the city, county, school district, water district coffers, and then 60%+ on average was invested into private funds. And it's incredible. After a city manager rips off a city, he then gets a job from $150,000 a year to $1 million a year at the very same brokerage firm he sells the city out to. Then you wonder why there's suddenly cops everywhere writing tickets, why there's suddenly fines and fees and the city grabbing people's houses. It's because these greedy bastards are stealing your money and putting it directly into their pockets. Do you understand? The guys in suits come take over your city, they raise the taxes, and they pay the taxes directly to themselves. While the budget that you hear about, it's only 35% on average of the money they're actually getting. They have big newscasts and discussions about the budgets on TV, but never about the double set of books, the comprehensive annual financial reports. And so now they have set up a system to finally destroy the free market in the United States and to blame what they've done on the free market when this had nothing to do with the free market. This is white-collar, hardcore crime. And so for the military, for the police, a lot of you listening in Austin or in Kansas City or upstate New York or California or Florida, some of you have been listening on stations that have been carrying us for more than 10 years continually. You heard me. I mean, I made a film 9 years ago, Comprehensive Annual Financial Reports Exposed. It's on DVD at Infowars.com. Go watch that. And we lay out the double set of books, how they're planning in the future. We say in the next 10 years, we have their own documents to implode the economy. We show you all the evidence, how when they were done transferring the majority of the wealth out of the people, out of the free market, out when they were done shutting down our factories and moving them overseas, when they fully had us where we were a debtor nation, public, private, and corporate, they would then move all the money offshore and then implode the United States and buy up the raw assets, the land, the value, and then socialize everything because the banks issue all the money. They can do whatever they want. And make everybody basically have government jobs or work for a corporation that's government funded. So we are literally feudal serfs and slaves. That's what elites do throughout history. And that's what these guys have now done. So for police and military, when your standard of living plunges, which it already has, when your life is destroyed, when your children have no future, do not sit there and say you weren't told. I reach on the web alone, through the videos and the audios and the websites, hundreds of millions of people every year. And I'm just one guy in this fight. There are thousands of other prominent groups and websites and filmmakers doing just wonderful jobs as well. You've all seen this information. You heard us tell you exactly what would happen years ago. We are credible. We are accurate. Instead of you apologizing and coming to us and asking what you should do, you go on Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com and you talk about how I'm a traitor and how I need to be killed. Listen, you work for Madoff, you know, the guy that just stole conservatively over $100 million. And if he'd steal that from Steven Spielberg, if he'd steal that from, by the way, read the list, police funds. I mean, you may not care about me or even your own family, but you should at least care about yourself. I mean, they are, you understand, you're not going to get your pension funds. You're going to get a tiny fraction of it. Not just through inflation, but the total check. You are being cheated now. These are swindlers. They don't care about you. They're just going to use the military to suppress the public so that we can never get back control of our government and bring them to justice. See, these criminals know that they've been running these Ponzi schemes here since the 50s with the Chicago 1313 double set of books model that we cover in Comprehensive Annual Financial Reports Exposed. We've been covering it since then. And since the 50s, they set up this model. It went nationwide by the mid-50s, so more than 50 years, tens of trillions of dollars a year sucked out of the local economies, put into the globalist coffers internationally. They're offshore. See, they're there crushing nations, destroying countries, starting wars, selling weapons to both sides. It's all about a monopoly game. They've got to bring down the sovereign wealth, the sovereign engines of creativity and the free market in countries so that they can sit above all the nations and play us off against each other. And they knew 50 years ago what they were doing was completely criminal and a financial coup d'etat. Look who made up the CIA, Wall Street, when it was set up in 47. And so they've known the whole time. And so just like when a bank robber goes in a bank, he pulls out a gun. He says, hands up. Well, that's what they've done with the police and the military and the tasers and the checkpoints and the brainwashing that all of this is good and for our own safety. They know they're stealing from us. They're squeezing us. They're taxing us. They're taking the money offshore. They're destroying our future. They're going after family farms, ranches, organic farmers, small factories. They use regulators to shut all them down so only the big mega corporations like Walmart can exist. This is cold-blooded. And for police and military, look at all the criminals. Look at what they get caught doing. It's a bankrupt system you work for. We as a people have to come to our senses and arrest the criminals. Stay with us. Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Central Standard Time, we're here live. Then I come in on Sunday from 4 to 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. To our police and military, they brainwashed you. They've told you that this culture of hatred of the public, this culture of mistrust of the public, was pro-freedom. That it was for your own safety. That the state was your mommy. That the state was your big brother. And that it was going to take care of you as long as you took care of it. The state was taken over completely with the 1947 National Security Act. The bankers had control of the issuance of currency and credit in 1913. They declared federal war powers, martial law in 1933. And now the Federal Reserve has openly said in Bloomberg that we are now under full war powers again. Congress has been told they're under martial law. They're openly announcing troops on the streets of America. They're openly announcing that they plan to engage the American people. Now, again, the military and the police have to ask themselves, are you going to go with the offshore brokerage firms and banks that have openly stolen $8.5 trillion just through the banker takeover and all these other brokerage firms that people that aren't being bailed out, hundreds and hundreds of billions of dollars that we know of separately. They have destroyed us. This is already irrevocable. We're going to go into a depression. The question is, through that depression, will they be able to grandstand as the saviors and bring in a police state and get everybody basically on a government mammary gland? And again, what did Henry Kissinger say? What did the Club of Rome say? What does the CFR say? What does the Security and Prosperity Partnership of the North American Union say? Over and over again in their documents that I cover in Endgame and other films, they say, we will create a world financial crisis that will bring in our world government publicly with the banks openly running the planet and taxes paid directly to them. That means you will pay carbon taxes and other taxes directly to the private banks, the private intergroup. The Bank of England, basically, is what controls the world financial system. And then they will issue bonds that have greater value than government bonds, basically our government bonds. Again, last week, New York Times, we are seeing amazing things. The New York Times coming out and saying that you will buy your bonds, not from the Treasury of England, not from the Exchequer, not from the Treasury in the U.S., not from the German Treasury, but from the Bundesbank, from the Federal Reserve, from the Bank of England. Oh, it says Bank of England, but it's not of the government of England. It says Federal Reserve, but it's not federal. It says Bundesbank, but it's not German. It's not government. They have been the government for a long time. Now they're just flexing their muscles and fully imploding the situation. And they state that they are going to destroy the world's currencies and come out with a new global partially gold-backed currency. You'll still have your nation's currency, but it will be set every day by the central banks. It will be a one-world currency controlled by them, all currencies regulated and controlled by them, and that they are then going to issue everyone a national ID card. It's already globally standardized. It's really a world ID card to track all your purchases, everything you do. There's going to be a worldwide sales tax. They're going to have the income tax on top of it. Every purchase you make, everything you do will be tracked. That's why, and I've read the corporate documents on this 7-8 years ago, read them on air when they have these big retail conventions, and they stated, you know, the government says, well, we won't audit your company as long as you comply with this. And that is when you buy a headlight or a battery or a gallon of milk, you notice they're wanting, when you pay cash, your name and your phone number. They're getting you ready for the cashless society. Total enslavement. Everyone with a card to buy, sell, and trade. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We are now into the second hour. Bob Chapman joins us for this hour, theinternationalforecaster.com. My websites are Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. The cutting edge, the tip of the spear in the Infowar against the globalists, the New World Order, the parasites, the conquerors, the usurpers. Then we've got Russell Wood joining us for 30 minutes, president of the Property Rights Congress of Missouri. They're fighting a NIS premises ID for people who own land that they're hunting on. You've got to register your property, and they say it is a privilege that they may just go ahead and start banning hunting. You can't make this type of stuff up. And then we have the folks that got raided by the armored SWAT team for selling organic eggs and grain they had grown. We're also going to get the Amish farmer on who gave his neighbor some milk, and so they arrested him. SWAT teamed him. So, I mean, this is what we're talking about here. So that is coming up as well. We'll be live at PrisonPlanet.tv in the third and fourth hour today. And if you're not a PrisonPlanet.tv member, it's not just that you get all 20-plus of my films in super high quality. My book in ebook format, Paul Watson's book, Order Out of Chaos, Elite Sponsored Terror in the New World Order, my book, 9/11 Descent into Tyranny, which, by the way, is about to be out of print, so it'll only be at PrisonPlanet.tv. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of my weekly TV reports in studio, in the radio studios. Now the live report, and then we also archive that for you. And there's a lot of production value, a lot of expense going into that, and it's because you have supported us that we're upgrading things and making it even better. We now have super fast servers. Just amazing quality at PrisonPlanet.tv. So I want to challenge everybody today. If you haven't gotten Christmas presents for your family, or you're thinking about buying them a tie or a bottle of Jack Daniels, don't do that. Don't do something that roasts their liver or their pancreas. Give them the gift of knowledge and information, a PrisonPlanet.tv membership. You just go sign up yourself and create your own username and passcode. And then with that username and passcode, just, you know, create a simple username and passcode, write that in a card and say, hey, this is a great online video subscription service with films in super high quality like Terror Storm and Endgame. Maybe even do a printout about each film and put it in the card and say, you know, this is your gift. I hope you'll use it. All you got to do is go to the site, enter the username and passcode, and you're in there. Thousands of pieces of media, just a huge library of information, really the biggest one we've seen out there and in the highest quality. And regardless, even if they don't use it, because I'd say 30-40% probably are just lazy or busy watching football or, you know, busy taking Prozac, doesn't matter. You've gotten a PrisonPlanet.tv membership because you can use the passcode as well. Six people can use the passcode. That's how many, and then it times out. You can have six simultaneous users with your passcode. So I hope you share it. I mean, in fact, you could buy a membership, $5.95 a month, do a trial, $5.95 for a month, give that passcode to five other people, and but just explain to them they can't give it to anybody else or it'll time out. The reason I can't give it to everybody is because we don't have the funds for the bandwidth. You know, we have it right now. We're at super high quality, you know, loads really fast, streams in a whole bunch of different formats. And we're going to get even bigger servers in the near future as long as the funds allow. And so now, you know, we do encourage you to share it with a few folks and spread the gift of knowledge and information. So, again, there's still time. We're 5 days away from Christmas to get a card, put the passcode in there, or send somebody a e-Christmas card, and then below it say, here's your passcode, here's your membership, enjoy. Or, even better, you can go to prisonplanet.tv and download my films, the books, whatever, put them on disc, on DVD or disc, and give them to folks. A lot of folks have DVD burners that'll even put the film cover on the top of the disc, so you can burn those and give those to your whole family. You could spend $5.95 on a membership, download the films, put them on disc, give it to your whole family, and be done with your Christmas shopping for $5.95, and then that goes to waking people up and supporting this transmission.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
The people are more perceptive to information, to the truth, than they have ever been in our history since 1775, 1776. And I am seeing, no exaggeration, I've probably seen 20 or more top forecasters, you know, hedge fund owners, you name it, saying we're going to have 1776 and that there's going to be a revolution in this country. The IMF is saying it. They're all saying it. I don't see how the system is going to be able to legitimately pose as our saviors when it's clear to everyone that private banks have hijacked the country a long time ago. They're now completely taking us down. They are totally criminal. They're all a bunch of Madoffs. I can't imagine how the police and the military and the public, and anybody for that matter, is going to go along with these guys into the dark night, into the dungeons of the New World Order, when we all know it's not in our best interest. And that's why we got Bob Chapman, the largest newsletter in the world until he retired back in the 90s. Now he's back, one of the biggest in the world again, the internationalforecaster.com. He at one time was the largest gold and silver broker in the world, and he's one of the grandfathers of the modern patriot movement, involved for 50 years. He was Gary Allen's partner. They put out None Dare Call It Conspiracy, which millions and millions of copies of that went out. That's the thing that woke me up back in 1992 as I was a senior in high school. And here he is with us. He's just done so much, worked with G. Edward Griffin and many others, and he's no longer even in the United States. He a long time ago got out of here saying this country's going to be completely imploded by the New World Order. So Bob Chapman was also in military intelligence during the Cold War before he got into brokerage. Bob, you know, I was just mentioning the fact of how is the establishment going to be able to put perfume on this pig and sell it to us? I mean, when New York State's announcing 88 new taxes on soda drinks and food and iPods and I mean, just other counties and cities and states, hundreds of new taxes, how are they going to get away with this? Why are they so mad dog crazy?
Well, of course, the governor of New York inherited that job, and the damage that was done to the state economy, like so many other state economies, particularly California, was done by predecessors, poor planning, too many employees, too much in their retirement plans. They were too generous, let's put it that way. I mean, I know people who, personally, who are retiring from being officers in police departments that are going to get $100,000 a year in retirement income. And that, to me, is how can any city or town afford such things, or state for that matter? I think that there's going to be a tremendous discontent. And I think the people in New York State who are very heads-up people, I think they're going to scream and yell and say, hey, look, Wall Street and banking is what got us into this mess. Let them pay for it. And so I think you're going to get a reaction. And how far it'll carry remains to be seen. But the people realize exactly what you're saying. And the receptivity towards the truth, which is only coming to them from the alternative media, such as your program and others like it, and the newsletters. But the people are listening, and they're looking for answers. And I think that the chances of, we'll call it a fiscal revolt, are great. And I think that this pig you talk about that is perfumed and has lipstick, I think that they're not going to be able to get away with it. And I think when the American public finds out things like AIG and Bear Stearns and Fannie and Freddie and Citigroup, these companies were bankrupt years ago. And people within government knew it. The latest fiasco that you, via name, Madoff, I do not think it was a Ponzi scheme. I think it's a scam. And I've been in touch with people who also share my thoughts on that. And it may come out that that's what it was. And, of course, the SEC looked the other way.
Well, explain, Bob Chapman, what it means. You know, this isn't a Ponzi scheme. This is just outright theft.
Outright theft. I have a letter from a man who is a Jewish subscriber to my publication who brings me some unbelievable information. And it's laid out in tomorrow's issue in a letter to the editor. This actually sent me three letters. And he's really upset because he says that the money has been funneled through Israeli discount bank to Israel.
Well, of course it has. This wasn't done by accident. The SEC knew years ago what he was doing, and this is a classic thing Israel, the Israeli elite, do, robbing their own trusting people. That is one of their favorite tricks.
Well, he brings that out. And
well, it's even come out, as you know.
Myself are really upset.
Well, it's even come out in the Wall Street Journal that big international banks were working with Madoff and knew full well what he was doing, and now you know that's why none of these banks or brokerage firms will have any transparency. Can you speak to that? Because they're all involved in just, you know, not just selling bad securities or securitized debt derivatives. They're just involved in money laundering, gun running, as you know, some of the federal whistleblowers have said. I mean, this is just, they're outright criminals running things.
Absolutely. And, you know, you just look also, as an adjunct to that, you look at what's going on in Afghanistan. It's the opening, opium. That's what it's all about. Billions of dollars a year in profits.
Hundreds.
Hundreds of billions of dollars a year in profits.
So
93% of the world's opium.
Bob, let's continue along the lines, though, of Madoff. I mean, this is the founder of the New York of the NASDAQ Stock Exchange in New York. This is, you know, a top level guy working with all the big brokerage firms, and they knew exactly what he was doing because they're doing the same thing. And I guess if we get mad and say we don't like you stealing all the money, they'll just say, "Hey, meet the Army. You know, meet the Marine Corps." And the Army and Marine Corps, these guys aren't sophisticated enough. The generals are crooks and know what they're doing. They're not sophisticated enough, you know, to understand what's happening unless we tell them.
That's right. And I mentioned that other program I go on with Drew Raines, and our entire audience is active and retired military people, and oddly enough, a number of people from the State Department. And they know what's going on because we speak like you and I speak on this program about what's going on. It's a whole revelation to these people. And I've kept on doing the program because I'm trying to help these young men and women who have no financial experience on what to do. Like yesterday, I'm going to reenlist. Do you think I should do so? And if I do, what do I do with my bonus? Those kinds of questions. And I'm there to try to help them.
Okay, Bob, specifically with the Madoff, give us more details. I mean, clearly there's been blurbs in the news that he was the front man for something larger and was funneling the money through foreign banks, the Bank of Scotland and others, overseas. What's the evidence for this money going to Israel?
I don't have that. And the person who sent me the information did not include that. So I can't say. I have to treat it as a rumor at this stage because I don't have accompanying documentation.
Well, I mean, where would the, some news is saying 50, some news is saying 100 billion of exposures, but the banks won't talk. I mean, where would that money go? I mean, same with Enron. We knew they were taking it out the back door before they imploded it. I mean, we know this money just isn't disappearing. Where did it go?
Can't answer that. I don't know. With Enron or with this deal either. I mean, these people are pretty crafty. They're not stupid. And they're the elite of the crooks.
Bob, in short, how do you see this playing out? You know, man, I keep asking that question of all the experts we have on. How do you see this, Bob Chapman? How do you see this unfolding?
I think the public's going to find out what they've done. I don't think they can hide this one. I think they're going to get caught. And that is going to make the American and international public even more jaded toward the finance and banking industries. And I think, you know, there's going to be a howling from the public. Where it'll go remains to be seen, but maybe people will finally get up some gumption and go to Washington and start banging on their congressmen's doors and say, look, stop taking these payoffs from banking and finance and insurance companies and represent us. And if you don't do that, you're never going to go back into office. Whether that'll work or not remains to be seen, because the amount of money that's been given away and will continue to be given away through lobbyists and otherwise campaign contributions is absolutely enormous.
Bob,
and they're bought and paid for.
Bob, as the police, fire, teacher, city, county, state worker funds, as they find out they've lost 30, 40, 50, 60%, you know, university pension funds, as they discover this, what we're seeing them say is, okay, we'll just raise taxes to make up the difference, greedily robbing what's left of the free market, greedily having men in uniform go out and steal and squeeze it out of the public to pay themselves. Don't they understand that at a certain point it's all just going to collapse and the money's not even going to be worth anything?
Yes, they do, and I think they're going to be able to find a way to get around that. And I got news for them. It's not going to work this time. There's too many people who know what they're doing. And when much more of the public finds out, they're going to be incensed, especially when they've lost their homes, their cars, and they're on the street.
Absolutely. Bob Chapman's our guest. We're going to take your phone calls for the rest of the hour at 1-800-259-9231. I also want to play a clip of the school debating whether this little girl needs to be criminally charged for Hall's cough drops. Stay with us.
Cyrus Jones from 1810 to 1913 made his great-grandchildren believe you could live to 103. 103 is forever when you're just a little kid. So Cyrus Jones live forever.
Grave digger.
Grave digger.
Bob Chapman's our guest. When your call's coming up at 1-800-259-9231. 1-800-259-9231 with Bob Chapman in the next segment. Bob specifically, Madoff's sons reported him. That never made sense to me, but now it's making a little bit more sense because they knew the Ponzi scheme was going down. They knew they wouldn't be held accountable. The $50 billion, the $50 billion plus, the other banks won't talk about where it is. This individual who you say has got an insight on this, continue. Tell folks what you told me during the break.
Well, he calls it a Meyer-Lansky scheme. And the person who wrote these two is Jewish. And so it lends to me much more credence than normal. And he's been great at coming up with information in the past on other issues. Rumor has it that the main directors of Madoff's firm all had fraud insurance policies with Lloyd's of London. A Madoff criminal indictment was necessary in order to activate the fraud insurance coverage. Rumor has it that both of Madoff's sons were in on it. Also, rumor has it that the judge he appeared before was enlightened as to what was really going on. The main idea here is that Madoff is trying to steal the same money twice, is skilled malpractice of the highest order, so it is not really a Ponzi scheme. No mistakes were made. It was more like a Maya Lansky scheme. Everything is going exactly to plan.
So that's like Silverstein with the 9/11 attacks, and then he collects $9 billion off of the attacks.
Exactly.
Off of a $200 million investment.
And he goes on to say that Madoff actually stole closer to $100 billion and that most of this money is still intact in Israel. As per your recent reporting regarding the Russian oligarchs, which are actually the Rothschild oligarchs. Also, rumor has it that most of the Jewish charities claiming to have been swindled by Madoff have offices in Israel, and that they're being notified that the money they claim he stole is immediately available to them in Israel. It is further rumored that the so-called Hollywood celebrity clients that were defrauded would be made good from Israeli sources, and that many of these Hollywood victims were told in advance by Madoff that their money was being transferred to Israel because the USA was going down. There are also rumors that in the EU banking circles that only misunderstandings between them and Madoff would be made good. Michael Mukasey's son, he's the head of the Justice Department, is the lead lawyer for Madoff's key operative. So as per your recent reporting, we are looking at 3 to 5 years for Madoff are possibly a paid-for pardon by Bush before he leaves office.
Well, we know that's what's happening. I mean, we know Madoff went out there and is robbing, you know, low-level charities, pension funds, Jewish groups. But the media is not discussing or debating where this money even went. And now they're saying the U.S. government may come in and bail out the investors, so they would be double paid. The money goes to Israel. They get paid to the back channel, and then they get paid by the U.S. government on top of it with taxpayer money.
It gets even better. Rumor has it that Madoff made all of his so-called Ponzi scheme money disappear via the New York City branch of the Israeli Discount Bank, which is owned and controlled by the Bronfman family. The key pins of the Zionist matrix were all involved in the scam to make money disappear. Madoff was National Treasurer of the American Jewish Congress and also the New York City branch of Yeshiva University. His big buddy at Yeshiva was a guy named Cy Sims, actually Mearns, who also happens to be a director and kingpin in the Israel Discount Bank of New York. Madoff was chairman of the Sims Business School at Yeshiva University with his partner, Cy Sims. Mearns, Israel Discount Bank, is at the epic center of the 9/11 funding food chain, along with the Bronfman family and the Mossad. All these fanatical Zionists involved in the 9/11 atrocity. See 9/11 as a crimes of Zionist patriots type event, like the blowing up of the King David Hotel that was full of hundreds of sleeping British soldiers at the time, that they did in order to further the interests of Israel at the expense of the United States and the 3,000 victims of 9/11 who came from 72 countries. The Zionists do not see this as sedition or as treason, and as such, all hidden in plain sight.
All right, Bob, amazing information. We'll come back and go to your phone calls and talk about where the market's going, the new crimes that are coming up. Bob Chapman, I want to go to the phone calls. Clark, Michael, Allen, Dave, Mark, and many others that are patiently holding.
I am a Midwest farmer. I make a living off the land.
But
I ride a John Deere tractor.
I wanted to ask you before we do that. Every week or two, another brokerage firm goes under, another mega bank goes under, scores of little banks go under, or banks that are solvent are bought up by the crime syndicate. What is the next shoe to drop? Have you gotten any more intel on dollar devaluation, bank holidays in February or March of next year?
Well, I got a letter this morning from someone who works for a company in Chicago, a subscriber, and he said that anything that the Fed does or the Treasury does in relation to new currency, new bills, and it has to be run through them first because they have to do certain things to make it happen. And they were waiting for a new $100 bill to come through, but that was put off indefinitely. But what he says is there's nothing on the plate, so to speak, at the moment. And I've been hearing rumors from people that perhaps in after Mr. Obama becomes president, that there might be a financial event where they might devalue the dollar and use something else. But he says, you know, if they're going to do something else, it's got to come through us. And there's nothing on the agenda.
Well, I want to be clear. I want to be clear, though. In the mainstream news a few weeks ago when they had their Bretton Woods 2, they stated that they're still going to keep all the same currencies. It's just that the governments are going to agree to devalue them all in unison together. So that would be digital money.
That's true, and that could very well happen at that time. And so speaking in terms of just dollars would be incorrect based upon that in logic. And that would be, you know, 64.5% of all the reserves of all the countries are in U.S. dollars. So if the dollar's devalued, everybody else gets devalued at the same time. So there could be a simultaneous devaluation of all currencies. Whether they'll go to a digital matrix remains to be seen.
What else do you see unfolding in the economy in the short term?
And incidentally, I don't think that that's going to happen in January. You know, my reasoning and logic and research tells me that things got to get worse before they pull that. And so I think that that's down the road, but it's certainly on their agenda, like you say. What's happening here? I think after the first of the year, the stock market will go lower. Gold and silver will go higher. There's going to be more scandals. Citigroup is bankrupt. It's my guess that J.P. Morgan Chase is as well, and Goldman Sachs. And all of these monies that the Fed won't tell anybody where the money went or what they received in collateral, even on court order, that shows you their arrogance. That all went to the banks. And, of course, they paid their bonuses and their dividends and fattened their balance sheets. And they are still making loans to their best clients.
Well, that's the issue. That's the issue. The Federal Reserve is openly on the news saying we're above the law. We rule the United States. We'll issue our own T-bills. Everything will be sacrificed, including the U.S. Treasury. It looks like they may go ahead and have it, you know, be downgraded in its credit rating. People should be praising us. We've been exposing everything that would happen, everything that would unfold with total precision. We told them, the public, they were gearing up the military to be used against the American people. And now they are announcing. And, you know, that's the crux of the issue. When they're really getting ready to use the military in a big way against the people, they have to come out and announce it and spin it and say it's a good thing. They can't just have them like out of a jack-in-the-box suddenly appear. They have to do, some groundwork preparing the public. And for decades, they've been quietly preparing and acclimating the public, and now they're launching it on us. Bob, that tells me we're going into D-Day here.
Well, I think it's going to take more troops at home. I think troops are going to be transferred from Iraq, not only here in the United States, so to speak, but also to Afghanistan, because I think they're going to widen that war deeply into Pakistan. And Iran still is not off the table. The Israelis want to go after them because they want to expand in the Middle East. And so you have all these configurations going on. And at the same time, if they do that, a distraction, if you may, a very expensive one, not only in money but in lives, they'll have a draft. And they'll do that to get the young fighters off of the streets. And so I think those things are going to happen before troops are used in the United States and total depression sets in.
So you're talking about 2 or 3 years out still. This is just more of the preparatory phase.
A year to 2 years out. You know, we'll be able to tell by what they do, what their actions are.
Well, by the way, Bob, this is not your opinion, what you're just saying. For decades, they've been quietly preparing for civilian youth corps and a domestic military force, Clinton, Bush, and then now Obama. And he's on record, and so is his chief of staff, who's openly a foreign agent publicly. They're so arrogant. They're saying everyone will serve, the old, the young. There's going to be an elder corps. There's going to be a green corps. There's going to be a million-person military-style spy corps. And they're open, and people will need jobs. So they're going to be drafted, conscripted, brought into this, and they'll find the nutcases and criminals and control freaks they need to enforce it. So this is a nightmare, what I'd call almost Soviet-style thing that they're planning to set up. So what you just said, I'm just backing it up. That's what they're saying they're going to do.
Well, I think that that is exactly what they want to do, but the timing is what we're talking about. And I don't know. I just think it's going to be longer. And it all depends on how the events unfold. They can't control everything. There's the things that happen that they can't control. A good example was a year ago, June, when Meredith Whitney came out and said, Citibank's assets aren't what they should be, and I'm taking a buy off the stock, and I think it will go lower. Well, that started the credit crisis. Everybody started to look at everybody's books and say, hey, you know, they're all like that. They're all broke. And that's what happened. That's what got this whole ball rolling. But not for one second did the power structure behind government, the Illuminati, did they think that somebody like her would step forward and say, hey, the emperor's got no clothes on.
But, Bob, there's more than that. I mean, again, we infiltrated Bilderberg almost 3 years ago, and they were planning to pop the subprime mortgage and have a global consolidation, a global crisis where they could then, quote, offer the solution. I even have a Henry Kissinger clip where he just said it again last night on Charlie Rose, or two nights ago. It was posted on Google last night, where he says this great crisis will help bring in our new world order. And we've seen them laying the groundwork for all of this. And we saw them 8 weeks ago, almost 9 weeks ago, come out and say we're going to have a depression. And when the president and the president, you know, to be elect, he wasn't president-elect yet, Obama said the same thing. And the head of the Treasury and the head of the Fed said that finally was the coup de grace. That destroyed confidence. They knew what they were doing when they did that. I mean, they knew they could get the yes vote in Congress. They didn't need to do that. So they want to plunge us into this. I mean, I think this may be an area where we disagree, because I've seen the IMF and World Bank documents. I know you've seen them. They've done this in third world nation after third world nation. I mean, they engineer these things. Or do we disagree?
No, we don't disagree. It's just timing. And I just don't know how quickly that can happen. And the way I see it at the moment, it's at least 6 months away. But they can expedite it. Maybe they'll have a devaluation like you've talked about.
Well, they're
earlier.
Saying they may do that. I mean, that's in the news.
That's right. And so they may do it in January, or they may do it in June. We just don't know. But what the underlying premise is that it is their intention to do it as quickly as possible.
Why are they telegraphing, I mean, hundreds of world leaders, from Colin Powell to Vice President-elect Joe Biden, saying it's going to be horrible, you're not going to like it, it's going to be unpopular with the left and the right, but just get ready, and then Obama's saying, I am the change, you know me physically, but you're not going to like the change, it's going to be sacrifice, and his bewildered zombies are still just smiling up at him like poor pathetic dogs that are about to have a bullet put in their head, you know, on the back 40. I mean, what are these horrible things that they're getting us ready for? Or are they just telegraphing to their minions, hey, you need to get prepared and get in a position?
I think it's probably both. And it's acclimation. It's brainwashing people to get ready to accept something pretty nasty. And at the same time, signal the others who aren't in the core of planning and thinking that, hey, this thing's getting ready to come down.
Ron Paul said on this show 2 days ago, it's in an article on Infowars.net by Steve Watson, governments that want to take over, undermine our liberties, and gain more power always use the fear factor. They did that leading up to the war in Iraq. They do it on foreign policy. Now they're doing it on monetary, economic, and financial problems. And he went on to say that this could lead directly to fascism, that they plan to nationalize basically all of the major industries to fully control the population. So you won't really have a, quote, government job officially, but the government will be signing your paychecks.
Agreed.
That's what Congress
and
is saying.
I think it's already well underway.
Well,
and it started in the banking and finance industry.
And that's what Congress is having hearings every week for the last month and a half. They're saying, oh, to save your pension funds, to save your 401ks, we will take them over. And then they say tax them, reduce the amount you get, and then give you a pittance back. So I guess as all these things go belly up by design, it's all just handed over to the government.
And that's part of why they're taking stock in the companies that they're nationalizing.
Good God.
And they create the money and credit and continue to give it to, say, Citicorp and AIG, et cetera, and they keep on getting a larger and larger piece of the company, so the government owns the company.
Bob, don't they know that they can't, you know, put hundreds of new taxes on everybody when we don't have it and then just send SWAT teams to take our houses? I mean, don't they know? Don't the cops know that they are going to get crushed between the public and the cockroach elite they serve?
I don't think that the law enforcement realizes. Some do, but most don't. They just think they're doing a job. And I hope they're listening to the program so they can find out that there is other reasons why they're being trained to do things that they don't normally do. And they better watch out, because it's not a big good spot to be in.
But see, that shows the premeditated nature, not just that we have the documents. If the cops and military won't go check articles I wrote 10 years ago or 5 years ago or 6 months ago, and all of it has come true, and won't see that I'm just telling you what the establishment war planners are planning, at least, you know, think, well, why have we been trained for riot control and for financial collapse years ago if this is just some organic thing that just started? They have set this whole thing up. I think the only debate we can have is whether or not they've now lost control. And I think there is some evidence that they are losing control, because as things fall apart, you've got this criminal class of white-collar criminals running the New World Order, and they're just all greedily stealing and grabbing whatever they can to protect themselves.
Well, this Madoff situation could blow it wide open, and I think they're going to get caught. I think the revelations are going to come out. And if you, I'm sure that you noticed that 12 years ago, all of this was brought to the attention of the SEC, and they did nothing.
Of course, because...
And then early in the 21st century, the woman who was taken over as the head of the SEC, Mary, can't think of her name at the second, she had hired one of Madoff's sons. And so, you know, this incestuousness goes on and on.
Yeah, how obvious does it have to get as the establishment is totally criminal, a bunch of criminals on record stealing everything in front of us and then threatening the public with the military and the police if we don't acquiesce to it? This is insane. Let's take some calls. Clark just hung up in Arkansas, so let's go to Michael in Illinois, then Alan, Dave, Mark, Ronnie, and others. You're on the air with Bob Chapman. Go ahead. Okay, we'll go to Michelle in Illinois. Go ahead.
Hi, I wondered if this was a radio station where you can share your news.
Ma'am, we don't screen the calls. You're on the air.
Oh, okay. I'm from Illinois, and I just wanted to pass around what I'm doing around the nation. And what I'm doing is fighting for a new law that got passed in the state of Illinois, where perpetrators of rape are paying lifetime long-term care for victims. And I'm bringing awareness about this. And I've called state to state, and the coalition
All right.
are
well. Send
very
me, ma'am, send me some information at Infowars.com. Thank you. I appreciate that call. Let's talk to Alan in Oregon. Alan, you're on the air. Welcome.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Alex.
Thanks for calling.
I've been listening to you for a few years now and following you pretty closely, and Prison Planet TV member. I was wondering if you could maybe elaborate on something I've been researching, and I found that on the Bank for International Settlements, the central bank and forum for all the central banks, Bernanke sits on their board, as well as Timothy Geithner, the newly appointed Obama Treasury Secretary. Then you go over to the World Bank, and you've got U.S. Governor of the World Bank, Hank Paulson, and then at the IMF, you've got Hank Paulson as the U.S. governor, as well as Bernanke as his alternate. And then,
yeah, let me explain how this works. Well, okay, let me hear your question.
What is your take on that? And then if you could maybe tell me that document that you were mentioning yesterday, the 2001 IMF document that predicts the rioting, I'd love to look that up. I haven't been able to find it.
Okay, it's the BBC and a bunch of other newspapers reported in late 2001. Greg Palast was one of them. Newsnight, which is the equivalent of their Nightline, did an hour-long TV show on it. Thousands of pages of documents came out. BBC released a few dozen pages of it and then had injunctions put on them because it was internal, not to release any more of it. But then I interviewed Palast, who saw all of them. And it was just how they go in and implode economies by design, how they want to destroy middle classes, how they want to cause economic degradation that then causes rioting so that total confidence is lost and then martial law can be declared. And then that's how it works. You have these private central banks of the world owned by a handful of families, and then they all sit in the international regulatory bodies, and the International Bank of Settlements is kind of the arbiter between some of the different factions, and then they take our tax money out of the Western world and go and loan it to third world nations to then get them into debt. Say $1 billion investment of our tax money in Nigeria turns into $45 billion with interest. That's the international banking system. I'm not really sure about your question.
Okay. That seems sums it up. I can look up that.
Let me give you the actual headline of one article. World Bank documents consume Argentina. All right, we'll be back with Bob Chapman. Stay with us. More of your phone calls straight ahead. You know, we can sit here analyzing the Titanic that's listing on one side about to break up and go under. And we're doing that. It's incredible to be aware, to know what's going on, to be concerned, and then to realize that the general public, on average, knows something's wrong and knows that crooks run the government, but they have no idea just how serious or just how bad it really is. Just thank God we've got our guns, because they would do what they did in the Soviet Union or Nazi Germany or Communist China if we didn't have the guns. They just come in and start murdering everybody. And if you think the U.S. is any different than any other country, you got nothing coming. They would just absolutely have their way with us if it wasn't for the fact that 3 or 4% of the population is ready to get into a shooting war, and the establishment knows that. And they're going to probably go ahead and go for broke because they're so arrogant. And I just feel sorry for the stupid thugs that are going to try to enforce it, because you put people's back up against a wall and they don't have any choice. They're going to stand up against you in a big way. We're talking to Bob Chapman right now, and we're taking folks' phone calls right now. Let's go ahead. And who's up next, John? I got a big call list here. Mark in Texas, you're on the air. Mark, welcome.
Thanks, Alex. Really appreciate what you do, and I always like to try to tune in when Bob's present. And Bob, I'd just say a great big hello for you, and thanks for your advice. You're always spot on, and just keep doing what you're doing.
Bob?
Well, we lose Bob. I'm doing what I'm doing.
Well, you make it possible for others to keep doing what they're doing. So from our own little corner of the world, we're doing it, and I appreciate it.
Well, thank you so much, sir. Anything else?
No, I usually have plenty to say, but for some strange reason, it must be because I'm talking to Bob and you at the same time. I can't seem to come up with anything.
Hey, listen, that happens to me all the time. I've got so much going on in my head, so many questions, so many points, that I'm almost speechless, because it's so over the top to have private banks running the military who are offshore, openly destroying your nation, laughing at you. It makes my head spin. But we've just got to continue to fight forward and try to reach out to as many people as we can. And then I can't believe that the whole population doesn't just rise up I mean, this is so off the chart. But again, it's been done incrementally, so the public's been trained to take almost any insult. Let's talk to Ronnie in Texas. You are on the air with Bob Chapman.
Thank you, sirs. And thank you for having Dr. Paul on this Wednesday and actually quoting from him today, and as well as Bob Chapman here. That's really fantastic. And one I wanted to mention to you, Mr. Chapman, is about what you said, the Meyer-Lansky scheme, and you kind of defined it as everything is going exactly as planned. And that was very indicative of, or reminded me of this book that I'm trying to share with others, that is Final Judgment, The Missing Link in the JFK Conspiracy Assassination by Michael Collins Piper. And I'm wondering if you've read it. You actually, Alex Jones here today mentioned one of, inadvertently mentioned The Judas Goats, which is the title to another one of Michael Collins Piper's books. But
oh, God, I wish I wouldn't have done that. He'll claim I'm attacking him or something. Look, I appreciate your call. It's so crazy. I had somebody call me up the other day and say, why are you talking bad about this? And I don't even know what you're talking about. You know, I say Judas Goat, and I'm talking about somebody. Or I said Ted Anderson's offering gold deals so good it'll destroy his competition. I had two gold broker companies call and say, why are you trying to destroy us? And I said, I'm not talking about you. It's a figure of speech. Good God. And Judas Goat is a very old term, you know, dealing with somebody, leading somebody into the slaughter. But, yeah, answering his question specifically, if you know what he's talking about, Bob.
Yes, I know of the books, and I've read them, and they're very revealing, and that's about it.
All right. Thank you so much. I'll be attacked for plugging it now by the individual. All right, folks. I'm gonna actually try to get him on the show because I'm just tired of all the baloney that goes on out there. More calls coming up. Stay with me, Bob.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
All right, we're going live at PrisonPlanet.tv for the InfoWars PrisonPlanet.tv members in T-minus 8 minutes. Richard Gage joining us. Final segment with Bob Chapman, trying to get some of your phone calls in here quickly. Tom in Utah, any questions for the man that heads up the InternationalForecaster.com?
Well, this may not seem like it's connected, but I, you know, you're talking about the attack on the middle class. I had an event where I became aware, curiously, of the absolute attack on the poor. I've been trying to get word to you, Alex, but I'm glad Bob's here because I think there's a kind of a connection. I put up a website called gassingamerica.com, and what that's exposing is an attack on the very poorest of society, what we call the disposables.
Okay, tell us what's happening.
Well, I had a family contact me with a deathly ill child. I diagnosed it, investigated it beyond the medical profession, which seems to be complicit with this. They stand, you know, lockstep.
Okay, well, what's going on? I don't have a lot of time. Tell me.
The family was being poisoned by carbon monoxide, and it's by design. HUD has placed a regulation in place where people living in manufactured or mobile homes, and that's the low end of society, or the poorest, they are being poisoned by deliberation with fumes coming from their furnaces, and right now I'm in a panic because Native Americans, vets, and everybody, poor people, blacks, the Katrina people, are being poisoned because a fresh air opening is 3 feet away from the exhaust of the furnace. Look on the website. I've been trying to get you to look at that, Alex.
Well, yeah. Listen, I appreciate your call. I'll check it out. It sounds interesting. So many times regulations that bureaucrats make up so that they're in charge end up causing serious problems in society. I don't know if they're trying to gas people by design with deadly carbon monoxide, but I do know that 43% of Native Americans were sterilized just in the 70s under George Herbert Walker Bush's program that he started under Richard Nixon, and that's on record. And I know the CBC reports they are killing Indian children at these reservations and at these government homes for them, and they and when they're caught, they say, "Well, we're supposed to do it. You know, this is eugenics." So yes, look, the government is predatory. It's training the police and military to hate the public. It is a group of criminal predators carrying out criminal activities against us. Bob Chapman.
I agree completely, and it's getting worse and worse each and every day. It's just yesterday I saw a picture in the Arizona Republic of military people, full gear and weaponry, working with police simile units. And so you're absolutely right. It's just an ongoing, enlarging thing.
Well, it's worse than that. The Arizona operation includes troops from eight other nations. They have foreign troops. And it's in major newspapers that they will use foreign troops against the American people, and they're hiring foreigners for the military, private mercenaries, and aggravated felons. You cannot make up tyranny that bad. I mean, it looks like they're trying to just do the most evil takeover in history, Bob.
It certainly is.
Again, a pack of psychopathic criminals are in control. TheInternationalForecaster.com. Folks, check it out. Get a free trial subscription. It's well worth it. I would just sign up and get the e-format one, or they have a hard copy they can mail out to you at TheInternationalForecaster.com. Bob, thanks for coming on with us.
Great. I'll see you next week.
All right. Take care, my friend. And in closing, I hope everybody will also visit Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. And I hope that people don't forget it's not too late to give the gift of information this Christmas. You can give your friends and family PrisonPlanet.tv memberships. And then just, again, keep the passcode for yourself. Create a passcode, a username passcode that's simple for them. Put it in a card or an e-card. Give it to them. And then give it to yourself as well. Again, you can share it with up to six people. Your PrisonPlanet.tv membership, because that's our goal, is to reach out to more people. So PrisonPlanet.tv, 5 months free right now on the site. Stay with us.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Thank you for joining us. We are live at PrisonPlanet.tv, simulcasting on the internet streams at Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.com, and simulcast on AM and FM stations across the country and WWCR Global Shortwave, as well as satellites. Don't forget the free daily podcast served out to over 115,000 people a day now subscribing. And we've got about 60,000 subscribing to the Sunday podcast. You sign up for those podcasts for free at Infowars.com. Listen how you want, when you want, where you want. And then you also have a library of the shows that can share those files. We also have complete archives of the shows posted within hours up on Infowars.com via MP3 in high-quality audio for everybody out there. I want to thank the listeners, the sponsors, the Genesis Network, my great crew here in Mission Control in Austin, Texas, and John Harmon up in Minnesota. We're getting April Gallup on either Sunday or Monday. We had her on the show, if you remember, about 4 or 5 months ago, and we raised money for her on the air for so she could sue the federal government for basically staging the terror attacks. And she's got a very, very strong case. She was inside the Pentagon. And so we're going to be covering some of that with Richard Gage in the next 50 minutes as well. Richard Gage, a few years ago, founded, I guess about a year and a half ago, Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth. And he's gotten hundreds and hundreds of members of architects and engineers, structural engineers, to join his organization. There are also other organizations with hundreds of members of scientists and physicists. And others coming out and showing that clearly Building 7 and Tower 1 and 2 on 9/11 were controlled demolitions. And now Mr. Gage and many others have been vindicated because NIST's latest report has had to admit that there was free fall involved. They denied that in Building 7. Free fall, falling at the speed of gravity, as Richard has always said. They tried to spin it and claim 14 seconds. Now they've had to cut that in half, and they're admitting that it did fall at free fall speeds. And so, again, these scientific questions are making a lot of scholarly individuals with a lot of letters behind their name look at the raw data. Architects and engineers and scholars for 9/11 Truth and many others have gotten published reports in peer-reviewed journals detailing their findings. And some of the most prestigious peer-reviewed journals out there have found their findings to be conclusive. And he's fresh back from a tour of Europe to crowds of hundreds and in some cases thousands of people. He's also spoken in New Jersey and New York, you know, brought into town by police officers and others to talk to folks. And he's gone through a lot of attacks to bring you this information. So I want to salute Richard Gage for all his fine work and commend him. Another example of what a highly motivated, focused, professional person can do in the defense of not just this republic, but in the defense of those that were murdered on 9/11 and now the millions that have died around the world in the war on terror, the million plus Iraqis that have died in the name of that lie and false flag is now a household term. Self-inflicted wound is now part of the nomenclature. And now it comes out in major publications that Cheney wanted to stage terror attacks on U.S. ships just 6 months ago as a pretext to attack Iran. Thank God the military got the word out and stopped that. We now know that's why Admiral Fallon resigned. He was not going to be part of attacking U.S. ships with fake Iranian patrol boats. So a lot is happening, and the truth is coming out on international television in England, in Germany, in Japan, in Russia, in the Middle East, or just all over the world are airing well-produced shows showing the evidence that 9/11 was an inside job. So we are winning this fight, and one of the frontline warriors, one of the most successful at getting the truth out, has been Richard Gage. So, Richard, good to have you with us.
Thank you, Alex. It's just great to be with you again. I can't tell you. I'm really excited.
Well, we've gone over the evidence of controlled demolition in all three of the towers, and not just the eyewitnesses, but the scientific evidence. But can you recap the last 6 months since you were on with us? What has happened with NIST, having to go back on their previous reports, and where the scientific investigation is right now?
Yes. Well, NIST came out with their draft report of World Trade Center 7, the third high-rise that came down, not hit by an airplane, came down in the afternoon about 5:20 on 9/11. And we'll talk about how it came down. But 7 years later, finally, we have a draft report in August in which they try to document that it was 40% of gravity that the building came down. Now, upon questions by physicist David Chandler and scientist Dr. Stephen Jones, they publicly had to backtrack and fumble their way through the conference. And in their final report, which just came out in November last month, they acknowledge that in the first 2.25 seconds, this 47-story building drops at free fall speed, which is 8 stories. Now, prior to this, in August, they said publicly that it couldn't have fallen free fall speed, because had it, that would mean the structure would have, there would have been no structure. And so now they're acknowledging free fall speed, but they're not saying, well, there must not have been structure there. In other words, what they're basically acknowledging to the 9/11 truth movement and the world is that the structure had to have been removed for those 8 stories, because a building cannot fall at free fall speed and convert all of its gravitational potential energy to kinetic energy and do any other work. It can't crush the 40,000 tons of steel that was in the building that was designed to resist any type of collapse.
And again, this was the FEMA command bunker overbuilt for strength, CIA, FBI, Defense Intelligence, more than 20 secretive federal agencies based there, their largest section offices outside of Virginia and Maryland in the world.
Well, that was on the 23rd floor. Yes, it was a very highly secure bunker, with complete with all that they needed in the way of electricity and water and backup electricity, reinforced windows against all kinds of hurricane and so forth. But all of this was abandoned on the morning of 9/11.
For Tripod 2, a terror attack drill. They had already moved out. They had already moved out the night before most of their operations out onto the pier, as FEMA said, because they were doing a top-off 2 drill, Tripod 2 drill for a terror attack.
Yes, we understand that there were hundreds of FEMA employees the day before 9/11 in preparation for a mock biochemical attack in downtown Manhattan, and we are wondering if that is just a coincidence or not. But the 550 architects and engineers who are demanding a real investigation do try to stick with the technical evidence. We're not conspiracy theorists, so we really do want others to investigate these matters, and we're glad that you're one of them.
Let's
Alan.
Talk about that matter next, of the 550 and now a year and a half joining your group and how it's growing exponentially. But before we go there, I'm not an architect. I'm not an engineer. But, you know, this is the main show that brought out the Building 7 controversy day one. I remember hearing the news as I was driving in my car back to the studio saying they're going to bring Building 7 down, the Solomon Brothers. They're going to have a controlled demolition so it doesn't damage other buildings. Other people remember those reports, the false reports, BBC, Fox, CNN reporting it had fallen before it fell. But I wanted to be specific here, you know, watching what NIST has said. First, they said free fall is impossible because that would have to be explosives. Only explosives can, you know, do that, because as it falls, it takes time to crush, you know, the next level. And, you know, the basic science shows that. But we have footage now of the entire building falling. They love to show a video from, you know, a mile away with a building in the way where you only see the first, you know, 25 stories or so, because the other 20-something stories are below the field of view. But in the other videos, we've timed it, and, you know, it is falling in a little more than 6 seconds. I mean, you can take your watch, you can time it. And, you know, that's how fast it falls. So even NIST now backing off and saying, okay, for a few seconds it was at free fall, it looks as if that is another deception.
I don't follow you. They acknowledge the free fall, but they are certainly are being deceptive about the implications of that.
Well, not just that. They're saying that the free fall was only partial. But when I watch the videos, it's a continual free fall, not just of 8 stories, but 47.
Oh, yeah. No, it actually does slow down. I encourage your listeners to look at the 10-minute video.
That's as it's piling up at the bottom.
Yeah, it begins to slow down after about 2.5 seconds, just slightly. It is almost free fall for the next 2-3 seconds, and then it slows down a little bit more. So it is very close to free fall all the way down.
But you would expect that as it actually did meet resistance. They blow the floors out, it falls in on the rubble, and then you finally do have some slowing.
Yes, they're counting on the weight of the building to be harnessed to do most of the destruction. So we have witnesses who have heard explosions at the base of the building, presumably those lower 8 floors. We don't really know. A real investigation would get at the heart of this, and also to how they might have planted such explosives. But we do know that the lobby, they had access to the lobby, which is not occupied. They had access to the 5th and 6th floor, which is mechanical floors, complete access. And through the elevator shafts, they could have had access to the entire core structure of the building without being detected.
Yeah, it was a spook facility. Well, we're going to break and come back, and then I'm going to attempt to give you the floor. There's just so many issues I want to bring up here with Richard Gage, the founder of Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth, over 500 members now and growing of structural engineers and architects. Very, very powerful group of accredited men and women that cannot be ignored. And we'll talk about the deceptions in the NIST reports and why they've been so deceptive and why they claim there was no molten metal when the government's own studies and their own photographs admit there was molten metal. Stay with us. We are back live with Richard Gage. Okay, not wasting any time. Richard, continue with NIST and their deceptions. For those that don't know who NIST is, you might want to tell them who they are. And then I want you to spend some more time on the explosive growth and the published papers peer-reviewed by architects and engineers for 9/11 Truth.
Yes, we have NIST. So acknowledging free fall, we were asking all of your listeners to write letters to the National Institute of Standards and Technology, and mostly to government officials and media officials, highlighting the dichotomy of what they're saying on the one hand and what they're not saying on the other. That this could only have been by explosive controlled demolition. It's critical that we get a real investigation, and we're asking also all of your listeners to email every architect and engineer they can find, and with the link to the video that documents this deception on the part of NIST, and the link, the video can be found on YouTube at our account, which is AE911Truth. So go to YouTube and look for AE911Truth. You'll see a listing of our videos. The most prominent one that's received 20,000 hits is this physics professor, David Chandler, who in this 10-minute video documents this. It's really important.
And by the way, this is our International Boycott YouTube Day today. Because they've been censoring a lot of people. But on this day, I would encourage our listeners to go get the video you've posted there and post it on Blip TV, Live Link, and a bunch of others. We're trying to get folks to have an exodus away from YouTube. We're going to stay on YouTube and keep fighting them, but to prepare people to try to build up some other big mega sites because of the censorship of YouTube openly announcing they are now run by the ADL, and they decide what goes up and what doesn't. And they've been banning my videos, restricting them, doing a lot of other bad things, and banning a lot of 9/11 truth videos. But a side issue, the boycott of YouTube is going on today. That's why my channel is shut down right now. But please continue with some of the deception that they're involved in that you guys are exposing.
Well, you brought up molten metal as well, and this is one of the critical pieces of evidence that is denied by NIST. In fact, before NIST took over the investigation, FEMA had done their own investigation. And interestingly enough, their conclusion, first of all, is that fire, which is their best hypothesis of how this building came down, has a very low probability of occurrence. What do you do when your best hypothesis has a low probability of occurrence? You look for another hypothesis. In fact, they found some evidence and documented it very well for the explosive controlled demolition with a new type of material, an incendiary called thermite. This stuff has, there's evidence all throughout the World Trade Center of thermite. In fact, there is several tons of molten metal found by the first responders, found by the World Trade Center structural engineer Leslie Robertson and associates of his, and other structural engineers document the melting of steel.
And how do you get all this molten steel when we're talking about thousands of degrees above what we know is going on? I mean, the people are standing in the wounds in the buildings, waving their arms. It's not melting them. How does it melt these big 4 foot around girders? Then we have the video of the molten steel, you know, the proper coloration. The studies have been done, pouring out, founting out like a foundry. We have the firefighters on TV saying it was just like a foundry, like inside a volcano, just molten metal everywhere. And then for weeks we have this molten metal.
Yeah. Absolutely. And FEMA documents the melting of the steel, the hot sulfur corrosion attack, turning 3/4-inch girders into Swiss cheese. This is documented by Abu Hasan Astani, the structural engineer who had unlimited access out there. Where does all of this melted steel come from? And more, even more importantly, what did NIST do with this documentation in Appendix C of the final FEMA report in May of 2002? They eject it. It is not a part of the official record. They cannot afford to acknowledge this molten metal. In fact, their lead structural engineer, John Gross, denies that there's any evidence or witnesses of molten metal. He denies this publicly when there's dozens of witnesses and plenty of photographic evidence, as you cited, flowing out of the South Tower near the jet plane impact.
The local student group, PNAC, a project for a new American citizen, they got, a few years ago, questioned him about that, and he said there is no molten metal. It didn't matter if they had the video there. We're trying to show him, now there's all this footage of molten metal, but still they're in denial about it.
They're going to have to, at some point, acknowledge that it exists and come up with some excuse. What we've heard so far is, Oh, well, the fire was down in the debris, and it was so insulated that it got hotter and hotter and hotter, which is physically impossible.
That's not how it works. Things cool in entropy. All right, we'll be right back with Richard Gage. Long segment coming up in your phone calls on 9/11, 1-800-259-9231. Stay with us. We'll be right back. It is December 19th, 2008. Richard Gage, the founder of Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth, is our guest. Next hour, we're going to get into the attacks on property rights and hunting, farming, organic farms, organic small country stores being raided by SWAT teams. Now having your own chickens, I guess, will be an Al-Qaeda crime here in this police state where they don't want any of us to be self-sufficient. Richard Gage is our guest. Your call's coming up here in just about 10 minutes at 1-800-259-9231. Please, only on 9/11 and government-sponsored terror issues. Questions for our guest. Richard, specifically, where do you see 9/11 Truth going in the future? We have April Gallup filing a suit. She was in the Pentagon, one of the heroes. You know, showing with her evidence it's an inside job, and then how they persecuted her when she started asking questions. It seems that 9/11 Truth is only growing and growing and growing. Richard Gage.
It's growing by millions every year, as a matter of fact. We had, as you mentioned, the Europeans brought us out. We had national coverage in Madrid, and we were sellout crowds in half of the European cities. They're more awake over there, and the media is less controlled in many of the areas of Europe, not all by any means. We expect to have 1,000 architects and engineers signed on demanding a real investigation by late summer, and we will take the petition to Washington, D.C., and take lots of members of the 9/11 Truth Movement with us, hold a press conference at the National Press Club, and present the petition to Congress. So we hope to also have hundreds of our architects and engineers there with us. So that's a big push for us. There's a large conference for 9/11 happening in Australia also in November, and a very important conference in Denver, American Transparency, you must know about that one, coming up in February. So there's a lot going on, a lot happening. I wanted to make sure, I realize I left some of your listeners hanging relative to this molten metal, because some people say, well, who cares? What does that mean? Well, it turns out that this is not melted steel. It turns out that it's not aluminum from a jet airplane. It's molten iron. It's iron. This stuff is brought up, and iron, while a component of structural steel, is this is not that. This is the byproduct of thermite. This is pure iron with elements of aluminum, sulfur, manganese, fluorine, and even 1,3-diphenyl propane, interesting, is found. Eric Schwartz of the EPA says they've never found that before. All of this is the key signature, chemical signature of thermite, a high-tech incendiary, which is used by the military to cut through steel like a hot knife through butter.
And not just thermite, but thermate, the specific type. They don't just find the thermate residue, they're finding the thermite residue.
And it's not just the thermite or thermate residue either. It is a very high-tech form of thermate with nano-sized particles found in unignited chips, red on one side, gray on the other, in all of the dust samples.
So we're even finding part of the unignited explosive, the thermite. And then it turns out some of the people at NIST just so happened to be former NASA experts in thermite couplers, explosive bolts, for separating intercontinental ballistic missiles and large booster components in their second and third stages. Just so happens that there's of just a few experts in the world on thermite. They just so happen to be the people over at NIST. That's interesting.
It's very interesting, and you can read more about that on our website on the technical articles. Kevin Ryan has done some incredible work. Our website is AE911truth.org, and people can also purchase the DVD to get more information. We have a two-hour DVD on all of this evidence. It's all laid out for you.
Absolutely. Tell folks they can get that there at the site.
Yeah, right on the left side of the website, ae911truth.org. The evidence is listed for you on the right side. There's plenty of very important articles. The PowerPoint presentation that I have used in 80 different presentations around the country and in Europe and Canada is there. You can step through like 500 slides very carefully, read all the information.
What is the establishment trying to do to stop you or discredit you? I know that Mythbusters is doing a two-hour special, National Geographic is doing a special. They wanted me to be part of it, but it's a guy that does hit pieces on patriot groups and on JFK researchers, and so there's no point in being interviewed, so he can edit it all together. I believe you were interviewed by these guys, though. So there's a whole group, and that's just two of the shows. There's several other big shows being produced trying to counter us right now.
Yes, and I'm not so sure that the gentleman that interviewed me for the National Geographic two-hour TV 9/11 documentary is producing a hit piece on this particular subject. He has he seemed fairly well convinced to me and gave us every benefit of the doubt and asked us. It was a very friendly interview. I was surprised.
Have you seen the films he's made?
No.
Get ready.
Okay.
Time and time again, people will say, oh, the BBC was so nice. And I go, no, I go look at what they've made in the past. He is a specialist in going after alternative media. And I did a whole show about his Inside the Limo special that aired on Discovery Channel a few weeks ago. And just the whole thing is a misrepresentation. And then I interviewed Robert Grodin, who was the expert, one of the leading experts in the world, but helped make the film JFK, and was the main consultant on that, technical consultant to Oliver Stone. And he was there when they were in Dallas with the car doing their shots. He said, but that's not where the shooter was. He was here. But wait, I mean, it just goes on and on. So, just get ready, my friend.
We'll cross our fingers and hope for the best, I guess, huh?
Absolutely, we will do that. Incidentally, for some reason, my computer's gone dead that had the callers on it. So we'll the network, I am that to the guys, and will you guys bring me a sheet with those callers on it, because I want to go to those here in just the next few minutes. Richard, there's so many other facets to this, other points in your research that you haven't made that we need to go over. And then secondarily, second, I would like you to speak about the explosive growth of your organization.
Oh, you bet. Well, relative to Building 7, let's complete this, because it's not just the fact that we have free fall, which one is only one of the many smoking guns. This building, 47 stories high, begins immediately its descent, and it falls symmetrically and smoothly, nearly straight down and almost into its own footprint. This is a feat that only a handful of companies in the world can even accomplish, and it is in itself proof of controlled demolition, because in order to bring a building straight down, you have to take out, in this case, the 23 core columns within a tenth of a second of each other, synchronistically timed floor by floor. That's the only way you can get it to come down straight. So that is a second smoking gun, if you will. Indeed, also, we have throughout the whole Ground Zero, all of this dust that blanketed Lower Manhattan has these tiny iron-rich microspheres smaller than a human hair, most of them. This could only have come from an aluminothermic event, because they have the chemical ingredients, once again, of ignited thermite. So there's no way that all of this dust, 20 minutes away in the Brooklyn Bridge, up on top of the skyscrapers, two, three blocks away, and filling all of the apartments, could have these billions of these spheres. Well, how do they get to be spheres? Well, in liquid does this. Its surface tension forms itself into a sphere. So in an explosive event, this molten iron, which is the byproduct of thermite, is dispersed, atomized, and this is how this happens. It's the only way it could happen. We're told, well, the welders down on the site cutting the steel could make spheres. Well, they can't make billions of them and send them 20 minutes away to the Brooklyn Bridge. These explanations make no sense.
And they can't
whatsoever.
Magically have the spheres be made up of the exact compounds in explosive thermite.
That's right. And attached to the unignited chips as found in the dust by Dr. Stephen Jones and documented in peer-reviewed journals like the Open Civil Engineering Journal and others.
Now, what effect is this having? I mean, you've gone in a year and a half to, upwards of 500-plus members. I interview you in the film Truth Rising, and then you had a couple hundred members. Now you've got over 550 members, and as these are published in peer-reviewed journals, that's not you guys writing this. Your findings are being seconded by prestigious journal after journal. It seems like the establishment's got a big problem here, Richard.
I hope so. But if we're having the dialogue in a vacuum and it's not being published by the mainstream media, then is it happening? If a tree falls and no one's there to hear it in the forest, does it make a sound,
Well, in the past it didn't, but now the alternative media is annihilating the mainstream media. That's why they're moving in with Internet 2 in an attempt to shut down the original free web.
Yeah, and it's a huge problem. I mean, we have to become our own media. I know you're the major proponent of this, and we have to get this evidence out to the American people. And it's going mostly, I think, word of mouth. In addition to alternative media, Internet, it is happening, and there is pressure from underneath, if you will, on the mainstream media. So every once in a while, they have to respond to it, or they look like they're not doing their job, and they don't want to have that appearance, do they? So we get National Geographic to respond, whether it's a hit piece or not, BBC doing their hit piece, and people get to see Building 7 coming down for the first time because it's never been played after the first day on 9/11.
Absolutely. Talk about your organization itself that you founded, and then I want to go to phone calls.
Yes. We are a nonpartisan group of 560, I think, now. They're architects and engineers, licensed and or degreed, and we are looking at all of these pieces of evidence, and virtually every architect or engineer we show this information to ends up agreeing with us if they're willing to sit down with it for a half an hour or an hour, or in some cases 2 hours is the length we've been speaking. They go, oh my God, why didn't I know about this? Well, there's lots of reasons for that, but do you agree with the technical science-based forensic evidence? Yeah, I have to. Then let's get an investigation to find out what the other issues are, such as, obviously, if this is thermite and Al-Qaeda didn't have access to these buildings, Al-Qaeda didn't have access to this high-tech nanothermite. We're talking about some kind of other operation, and the architects and engineers don't speculate too much beyond that because it's beyond our technical credibility. But what we can do is provide the tools for your listeners to take the AE911truth.org link with the power of our 560 technical professionals to their friends, to the media, to their congressmen, and really start to move this through. They say, take a look at this. You don't even have to say, I'm a conspiracy theorist, and here's my conspiracy. No, you say, here's a group of technical professionals. Look at what they're saying.
Well,
listen to them. Does it make any sense to you?
I found that's one of the best things to do with, say, my film Endgame or Terror Storm, any of the work I've done. Folks that go out and just say, hey, this is pretty wild stuff. Tell me what you think about it. And then you depoliticize it, and then they watch it or tell them, hey, this is controversial. This is, suppressed stuff. So that they'll watch it, and then you unlock a mind, and that is priceless. Yeah. I want to go to some phone calls for you now. Let's talk to Warren in California. Warren, you're on the air with the founder of Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth, Richard Gage.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Hi, Warren.
I want to make this short, but it's going to take a time. I went on Google, and I put in Global Hawk, and it went down to images, and there's about 20 or 12 pages of thumbnail pictures of various pictures of the Global Hawk, and about third of picture down, it says Global Hawk hits Pentagon, and it has explosion, and there's a website under it. Then on the next page, there's one, Global Hawk Pentagon 9/11, and it's painted in American Airlines paint scheme.
Well, there's a lot of debate about what happened at the Pentagon and the way they covered up the videos, the way the witnesses said they smelled cordite or basically gunpowder, explosives. That is a major issue there. And we've covered it, and we've got April Gallup coming on next week, who's followed suit over this. She was in the Pentagon and didn't see any plane, didn't see any wreckage, and they told her to shut up about it. But, you know, the stronger evidence really is the controlled demolition, and then separately the fact that our government, which is illegitimate, has staged terror attacks over and over again that are declassified and admitted. I mean, there are hundreds of examples where they admit they staged terror attacks on our troops, on our ships, or on other countries to blame it on their enemies. We have an illegitimate government that's doing this, a group of terrorists. And so I find that to be the strongest politically to make people understand it, that, well, hey, you know, I mean, if I'm a cop and I'm looking for a serial killer and, you know, we find a murder that has the same M.O. of the other serial killings, then, you know, we go look at the usual suspect. And these guys have done this over and over again, so that's why we do that. Richard Gage, your comments on the Pentagon.
You're right. It is a little bit of a mess, Alex. There's clearly a cover-up going on at the Pentagon. They had hundreds of cameras that would have told us what did or didn't hit the Pentagon. And they're not releasing them. Only the unclear five frames. It's a joke. They came and took the FBI after 5 or 10 minutes. The cameras from the hotel and the gas station nearby. We have enough very hard evidence, as you mentioned, at the three worst structural failures in modern history. The high rises. That have not been properly investigated, and then that have their own set of cover-ups to go with, and so there's some controversy within the 9/11 Truth Movement about the Pentagon. So our particular organization focuses on the high rises instead, where there is very little controversy about the mechanisms for how these buildings were taken down.
All right, Warren, thank you so much. Anything else from California? All right, he's gone. Let's talk. We're going to go to break here. We're going to come back quickly. Go to Randy, Ralph. We're going to go to Derek first. He says he's a structural engineer. I don't know if he agrees or disagrees. Michael Lenoy and Kevin and Mass. In the next hour, we've got a bunch of land rights, feudalism issues, as we're all basically being driven off the land, micromanaged. The king has sent out swarms of agents to eat out our substance, as the founders complained in 1776 on the Declaration of Independence, signed July 4th. But I want to hold Richard Gage. Richard, I know you got a busy schedule. Can you stay 5 minutes in the next hour?
Oh, you bet, Alex. Oh,
okay, good. And then we're going to get the president of Property Rights Congress of Missouri, Russell Wood, on. They want you to have to register your premises to be able to hunt on your own land and pay fines and fees. And they say it's a privilege to hunt on your own land, separate from having to get all the little permission slips, the licenses from the king. I hope you'll go to prisonplanet.tv and download the disc, Truth Rising, the 9/11 Chronicles, because it's just an amazing 9/11 film. It has Richard Gage in it, or you can buy it on hard copy on DVD at Infowars.com or by calling 888-253-3139. You may know that it's an inside job. Your neighbors may have heard it is, but aren't convinced. Show them. Show them Terror Storm, a history of government-sponsored terrorism. Again, available at Infowars.com. And you don't just spread the truth, you also support this transmission. Let's go ahead and talk to Randy in Michigan. You're on the air with Richard Gage. Go ahead, Randy.
Hi, Alex. First, I'd like to thank you, Richard, for spreading and keeping the 9/11 movement strong so long. I mean, I know people are saying it's 7 years or, you know, it's been a while. But my question for Richard, I'd just like to know the name of some of your books. And I had a comment after that as well.
Well, several videos have been made with Richard's work, and we have those available at Infowars.com. Their latest film is 9/11 Blueprint for Truth, available at AE911Truth.org. Richard?
Yes, that's true. It's all right there. We have not written a book yet.
All right.
Well, Well, related to that question, I was just wondering, because I purposely go to the library to ask for, you know, 9/11 related books, and you know, so when the library's crowded, I'll get weird looks from the librarian, because I'll know the title of the book, and I'll say, well, what books do you have from Vincent Bugliosi? So then she has to say the title, and people look at me like, what? You know, President Bush wanted for murder? And, you know, I kind of pull a backwards trick for that. But, you know, I first off recommend going to see Endgame first for anybody that's getting into this, because if you watch it, it kind of starts and gives you, you know, it resets the history so you really know what happened before you go see all this 9/11 stuff, and you can see how it relates.
Yeah, it gives it to you at a historical perspective. Got a jump. Good to hear from you. Let's go to a structural engineer, Derek from Texas. You're on the air with Richard Gage. Go ahead, Derek.
Hi, Alex. Richard, thank you so much for letting me on your air, and thank you so much for all the great work that y'all do. As a correction, I'm not a structural engineer. That's usually a civil engineer's test.
Screen just said that, so somebody said that or something close to that to the person answering the phone.
Yeah, I'm a mechanical engineer, but I do, as a certified welding inspector, go to buildings and structures and review the structural engineer's recommendations and enforce the contract documents by making sure that they get followed. And I'll write a report that says that the structural engineer's recommendations are followed or not followed and make recommendations as to how they can be remedied. But I want to get to the quick and skinny about the NIST report that came out just a couple months ago. What they're suggesting is that this column 79 on floor 23, which had many attachments, this is a column that was attached to, a floor beam, which they said expanded from linear thermal expansion from these office fires. And as far as my knowledge, the only thing inside these offices are normal consumables like books, papers, carpet, et cetera.
Which smolder and burn at 800 degrees, 900 degrees. All hail thermal expansion, a new scientific development in the history of building fires.
Yes, and they're suggesting that all this overcame a connection at column 79, which was also attached to four other floor beams, as well as the deck connections, which are all welded, the joists, which are about every 2 feet, they're all welded. And, you know, there's many, many connections, not to mention a 5-inch thick concrete slab that has reinforcement of steel rebar or post-tension tendons. What we need to do is have a finite element method survey that's applied to this geometry and then put different initial load conditions in and run the FEA software and say, we already know that this is silly, but a good FEA survey will prove this is silly. And this is something that I've promoted on Neocon Radio, and I enjoy doing it when I can.
Well, the criminals running the government, it's not our government, they engage in a cover-up of everything, so we can't find out specifically. Richard Gage.
We have to get the information from NIST in order to do the FEA, and they are closing it. It is not available whatsoever. They've locked it up, and this is a public investigation, and this information must be made public. That's
all right, stay there. We'll be right back. Final segment with Richard Gage, Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth, commenting on what the last gentleman was saying. Richard, before we go to a few final calls.
Well, he was highlighting the unviability of the thesis of NIST. First of all, the photographic evidence of the fires on the 12th and 13th floor indicate that the fires were out for the last hour and a half of the life of the building, and yet their fire simulations fraudulently shows massive fires around column 79, as you suggested, for well more than the 20-minute duration that a fire can exist in any one place because it consumes the low quantities of consumables and moves on.
It creeps around, but they have this continuous, across-the-board, massive inferno.
Yes, and so this massive inferno, let's say, okay, maybe it was there burning.
And it's not
God
just one building, it's
hour.
Not just one building, it's three doing this.
Yeah. But in Building 7, what they're saying is that this fire elongated the beams, pushed the girder off its seat on the column,
And then that caused floor 13 to fall in 12, 12 to fall in 11, et cetera, for 9 floors inside the building, leaving column 79 unbraced, and so then it buckles. But all of this action would have deformed the exterior of the building, and that's not what happens. But it does happen in their computer model, interestingly enough. There's severe warping, indentation, and bulging, and tipping, actually, of the upper part of the building. They could not get their computer model to match what actually happened in the video, because clearly that building would have tipped over in any kind of collapse caused by fire, and that's why they don't even show us what happens above about the 20th floor, because it was clearly tipping as a result of all the bulging and indentation.
All right,
let's go to a
final call. Mike in Illinois. Mike, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yes, thank you, Alex. I appreciate it. Richard, I have a couple of questions for you. I'm going to try to make it brief because I know the time variable here. I remember seeing the trade centers come down. They looked like trees being turned into sawdust from the top down, which was sort of incredible to me. And I know that I don't actually believe that the thermite could alone do this. There had to be some other facet to it. You have 550,000 tons being turned into dust, you know, which is just, like, unbelievable. I understand it was built in a bathtub. So if this had fallen into this bathtub, it might have cracked the bottom.
Now, well, I mean, here's the deal. Instantly, as it starts collapsing Tower 1 and 2, not just 7, instantly as Tower 1 and 2 start detonating with blast squibs, clearly 4 or 5, in some cases 10 floors below, it's pulverizing with explosive force. Little fires don't eject pyroclastic flows of pulverized office furniture, desk, people blown into tiny pieces. Richard Gage.
And they don't eject 4 and 20-ton perimeter steel beams 55 miles an hour exiting instant acceleration out of the sides of the Twin Tower, landing 600 feet away. That doesn't happen, but I think the caller is suggesting that there's something in addition to high-tech thermite, which becomes very explosive, by the way. So we don't know because the tests aren't available to us. This is very new stuff. Only
we just know the official story doesn't match the science on any area.
That's correct, but it could be that the explosive nature of the high-tech thermite could be enough. I mean, we don't really know. We don't necessarily have evidence of high-energy explosives like C4 or RDX. So there could be something else going on that's high-tech and more explosive. But who knows? We have the evidence for high-tech thermite.
All right.
Let's run with it.
Thank you, Mike. We're out of time. Kevin, Jim, and others. We'll get to you later if you want to hold or not. You can leave because we're getting into some other subjects. Richard Gage, want to have you back up again in the near future. We commend you for your tireless work for the truth and for liberty. 9/11 has been used to destroy our Bill of Rights and Constitution and launch us on a path towards criminal world government. And only by exposing this great new mythos they've created, this new religion of tyranny, can liberty then grow again in our fine land and worldwide. So I commend you, my friend, and we salute you. Via con Dios.
Thank you, Alex. It's an honor to be with you always.
Honored to be with you. Take care, Richard Gage. We'll be right back. Ladies and gentlemen, get into the feudalism being set up as the people are being treated like third world serf slaves.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Hey, I got to finish my lunch in that 3-minute break, ladies and gentlemen. I love live TV in here. It's great at PrisonPlanet.tv. I remember about 15 years ago when the Forest Service, Department of Land Management, local game wardens started setting up SWAT teams. People out in the back of a boat fishing would have guys run up, a man with a small child that was in, I think, the NRA magazine a few years ago, pointed machine guns at him. They're raiding farmers and ranchers, claiming they don't have permits for organic eggs. They're raiding local co-ops that are selling their eggs or milk. And they're hiring all these bureaucracies. It's just radically expanding. And Now when you talk to a game warden, because we have a piece of property we've had since 1829 in East Texas, Mexican land grant, they're rude. You know, they'll pull up at the deer camp. They'll get out and go, I want to see everything you're doing. I want to make sure the tags are right on this deer. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. My uncle, you know, the landowner with the tag on the deer was driving it for my great uncle to the local processor. You know, they gutted it, but they wanted to have it, you know, turned into sausage. It was taking it. State police jumped on him, screamed at him, acted like he was a criminal, said, you're going to jail. And then told him it was illegal for him to be transporting a deer that wasn't his. And he said, I'm the landowner. I know the law. And, you know, I'm taking it here. Didn't matter if my uncle was even known to the state police officer and our family been there forever. It's about letting us know we're trash and scum and that they own us. Now, it's not enough that they now run a background check on you when you buy a license all over the country. Feds pushed it. States passed it, most of them. So now if you hadn't paid your child support or if you've got some background, oh, you can't go buy the hunting license. And the hunting license is everywhere, just exploding in price. This is all designed to go after law-abiding people. So, see, they train you how to be a slave, how to be a serf, just like in jolly old England, where only the nobles could hunt. Now they want you, and it's happening all over the country, to register your property, just like the animal ID or the premises ID. And when you register, you waive all these rights. And now, not just the game wardens, but the Forest Service and others, so they can come on your land without warrants whenever they want. I mean, this is criminal. And these are nothing but parasites. The deer jumping out in front of cars, killing people every day across the nation. Wolves, coyotes are running wild in Austin. You walk out back my house in southwest Austin every night and hear the coyotes going wild. They're eating people's dogs and cats. They pay trappers thousands of dollars per deer to come trap the whitetail, fly them to Mexico. They're so stressed out by the time they get there, they die. So they're not letting humans be predators. They're not letting, you know, anything else happen. Everything is falling apart. And I'm aware of a case similarly where they're trying to pass things like this in Missouri, and people are fighting back there in Missouri against this. And Russell Wood is the president of the Property Rights Congress. And again, you have to register your farm. You have to register your ranch. It could be 10 acres. If you want to put a deer blind out back, you know, for your grandson, you go register with them and you waive all your rights, and they say it's a privilege. And then, of course, they can start fining, feeing, and taxing. So I briefly wanted to have him on for about 15, 20 minutes to talk about that. Because even if you don't hunt, you know, you've been conditioned to hate hunting, just like they did in England. Now they've banned hunting there. They're back to feudalism, but the king can, you know, the queen, the royals can still hunt. They banned most forms of hunting. You can go buy a steak at the store, and that's okay, but don't shoot it yourself. It's supposedly cruel. Again, they want to dehumanize us. They want to kill our rural culture. They want us totally under their control. Now, in the 20s and 30s, when we had the Depression, 90% of people were agrarian, on the land, self-sufficient, and 7 million starved to death, according to a major university study that was out a few months ago. Now, 90-plus percent of us live in the cities, and of the 10% that live in the country, only half of those, or 5% of the country, are what you'd call self-sufficient. And they want to shut that down. And again, words can't describe all the things that are happening, the harassment. You try to go to a national park or state park now, the rangers are rude to you because humans are bad. We're bad. We're not supposed to be out there. We're evil serfs. This is a mode of control of the population. But the good news is in Missouri, they're beating these initiatives. In Texas, we're gelded, and it's very sad. Our people have become very cowardly and slave-like. There's no law you have to have the animal ID federally, but all these states have adopted it. Many have. Texas adopted it. And there's no law, but they still come and harass you. And when you sign it, then you waive your rights to your property, $1,000, $2,000 a day fines if a cow dies and you don't report it. You have to put chips in all your animals, but the big agribusiness doesn't, so it's meant to bankrupt the small farms and ranches. They're now SWAT teaming again, organic farmers. That's coming up in 20 minutes. So this is very, very serious. I wanted to preface that before we bring Russell Wood up. Russell, good to have you here, sir. Tell us exactly what you're facing there in Missouri.
The Conservation Department is trying to get some new regulations in place. And the way this department is set up here, they're free of the legislature. our lawmakers really have almost no control, well, virtually no control over their rules, regulations, and or their spending. They've been giving a never-ending 1/8 cent sales tax with no control from any elected officials. It's theirs to spend. So they are pretty much free to do as they please. And right now they're proposing a new set of hunting regulations on deer and turkey, where they say, for one thing, that you must own at least 80 acres to qualify for a no-cost landowner deer permit, deer tag or turkey tag. And this is something that we're just not going to stand for. They're also saying that we must register our property if we want this, if we want to hunt on our own property. The way they say it, they say landowner hunters wanting to receive landowner deer and turkey permit privileges. They're going to extend us a privilege. We must first register our property with the landowner registry. And on this registering, they want, now this is off of their literature, they want property location, section, township, range. They want number of acres at that location. They want the status of each person there, whether it's immediate household, whatever. Then they will be able to have their point of sale system so that when you walk in there, they have verification that you actually own land. They say that people have cheated on this before.
It's always how we all have to be treated like criminals, guilty until proven innocent, to stop a few, quote, cheats.
Yeah.
I mean, you heard me do that whole rant earlier, sir,
yes,
about the way they're treating people, the way they're acting, all these new bureaucrats. They're just, I mean, they need to get off our back. And just what you just read, they're saying it's a privilege to hunt on your own land because it's our land. You pay property taxes on it, and then we come in there, and then we give you permission to hunt on your own land.
If you want to receive permit privileges, yeah. But they close this little part by saying, requiring persons to declare their specific land ownership up front will make it, now get this, easier for department personnel to verify land ownership. They don't say anything about this is a good deal for managing livestock.
How about you go to the state and get half these people fired in this economy? I mean, there's no commercial poaching going on that I know of anymore. All they do is harass people. They can go arrest good old boys shooting deer off the highway on other people's property all day. You know, that's fine and dandy, but no, they're there to harass. You can tell they hate landowners. They hate America. They're a bunch of communist filth, and I'm calling them out. Get out of our country, you dirtbag trash. We're not in 1200 England.
They during their whole tirade on this, it's all about money, and they make veiled threats at what programs they should discontinue and so forth. Their director, the director, gets paid $150,000 a year. They have 2,300 employees.
Oh, just 2,300 parasitic environmental wackos again. They don't care about real environmental problems. I've run into them. These are hate-filled, sandal-wearing, long-haired communists. I'm not saying you're bad if you wear sandals and have long hair, but that type. And they go get a gun and a uniform, and they literally, folks, I've run into them. They are scum. Go ahead.
Well, so many of these, you know, the old conservation game wardens we used to have around here actually were interested in the wildlife and in managing wildlife and that sort of thing.
Well, I heard Derry Brownfield talking about it himself. He worked, for one of these big, in Missouri.
Right.
He said you couldn't have paid them in the 60s when he was there to go out and do stuff like this and harass people.
So many of these new ones they're the younger folks that have never been off asphalt in their life.
Yeah, they come out of the big cities. They hate America. They hate hunting. And they're here to harass landowners. They need to get their ass off our property.
But our response to this is that we will buy no deer or turkey tags, period. And there will also be no hunting on our property, on our private property, by anyone who has a deer or turkey tag.
And you guys have successfully used that tactic before. If all these greedy creatures care about some money, you'll just boycott them.
We're just not going to buy their tags. We're going to post our land so that no one can hunt there except ourselves. Or
all right, stay there, sir. We're going to come back and talk more about what you're doing on the other side. Stay with us. Russell Wood, I want to have you back on for a full hour to go over this more in the future, but in the short segment we have, more about your fight against these people. I mean, look, it's time for us to stop being so nice, too. When you see these DNR people or these game wardens that are out of control, I'd walk right up to them in the local cafe and say, I'm tired of you enslaving this country and sucking off of us. And it's time for us to start shunning them and being aggressive like our founding fathers did, not just saying, well, we won't hunt this year. And I know people have done that in other states. And I remember a few years ago in Missouri, wasn't there something similar along these lines that made them back off?
I don't think so. I don't remember it.
I've seen some other cases. Well, I mean, I'll tell you what makes me mad. I read the stories about states where they don't pass the animal ID or premises ID to waive all your rights and go under their control. And then they'll tell, okay, the 4-H club, you've all got to sign your parents' property over to us, or you can't show your cows or pigs. And then the little girl shows up with her pigs. She wins. They wait, and they grab her, put her hands behind her back, and throw her off the property to make it look like she's a criminal. These are bullies. I mean, you know about those cases, I bet.
Oh, yeah, I'm deeply immersed in this animal ID thing. Yeah. And it comes from all angles. It comes from every side, doesn't it?
Well, that's why I'm angry. I mean, it's feudalism. It's total serfdom.
Yeah.
Well, in the minutes we've got left, how do folks contact you? How do they get involved? We're on a few stations up in Missouri. How do people support you?
Well, if they'll just, I'll give them my phone number, and they can just call, and we'll be getting word out as we progress. We hope to be getting some no trespassing or no hunting signs fixed, all with the same wording on will be no hunting here because of Department of Conservation regulations. That sort of thing, you know. So,
and you're getting a whole bunch of signs made up to do that.
Yes.
Now, your organization's pretty big. How many members?
Well, we have, it's hard to say, we're not a real close-knit group. We have well over 1,000 property owners involved, and we get more than that when we start having rallies and gatherings, you know.
That's right. You guys have had some big victories in Missouri against these criminals.
Yes, we have. Yes, we have, yeah.
Tell folks about those briefly.
Okay. The one major one that we had to do with the watershed district that had been put into effect legally, a freestanding entity with the rulemaking rights and privileges established by the state. We didn't know about this until it was already in effect. And we went to work with legislators and pointing out what they had really done. And as happens too often, it had been passed without those voting for it really realizing what it said and what it did. And we were able to get that reversed and give the count. 9 counties were brought into this one big district, and some of the county commissioners didn't even know it was going on, hadn't even been contacted. As I say, we did get that reversed to prevent establishing a freestanding unit with the ability to make laws governing that district, and then they were to let the people know what the rules were. This is a coming thing. This is an offshoot or actually an integral part of the Agenda 21 concepts of doing away with county boundaries. And here in Missouri right now, they're trying to blur the line between Missouri and Arkansas on watershed issues. We're so involved with this National Animal Identification System and the efforts, combined efforts, not just us but others, we've been able to get a law passed here in Missouri to prevent mandatory premise registration for the National Animal Identification System.
That's right, because there's not a law, but by color of law, they try to fool and terrorize people into thinking there's a law, so you have to pass a law saying this is a fraud, there isn't a law.
Yeah, and the USDA has issued directives to the veterinarians and so forth to go ahead. Now, this is their wording. They say go ahead and assign a premise number to those who do not want one and put a little asterisk by it saying it was not with their consent.
And that's indentured, hold on, sir, that's indentured servitude, making the professionals go out and enforce things that aren't even laws. Well, let's do a minute or two on the other side, if you can, because I want to give out your phone number so folks can contact you. Russell's also a former school teacher, owner of Cable Enterprises, owner of radio stations and movie theaters, and he's out there fighting Big Brother. About 26 and a half minutes left in the broadcast today. I could talk for hours with Russell Wood, former president of the Ozark chapter of a group that is fighting against the NIS, the Animal ID, the Premises ID, all of it. Russell Wood, go ahead and fire out the phone number for Missourians out there that are listening and people around the country. Similar things are happening everywhere, that are fighting against this feudalism, forcing people without a law to have animal ID, microchips in their animals, premises ID, making you register your property to be able to hunt on your own property. Then we're going to go to our next guest and the director, Maurice Thompson of the Buckeye Institute for Constitutional Law. And that deals with this amazing case that WorldNet Daily and others have been covering it. Well, WorldNet Daily finally got on it yesterday. We've been covering it for 2 weeks. A week and a half. Armed officers raid home, hold mom kids for 6 hours over selling organic eggs and things like that. SWAT team holding them at gunpoint for more than 6 hours. We'll talk about that with a constitutional law expert who is filing a case against this particular state that's done this. And there's just too many of these cases to even cover them all. We're just covering a few of them today. People being arrested or fined or fined for giving their neighbors milk. I mean, it's total control. This whole thing is pointed at the American people. But Russell Wood, give out your number for folks that want to be able to help you fight back against what's happening.
My number, area code 417-948-2379. And we're getting some no hunting posters made up that we hope to get distributed throughout the state to let them see that these are areas that are going to be taken out of use. You know, for those who buy their tags from the state, let them go hunt on state property.
All right. Give your number out again one more time, sir, and then I want to have you back up, because I know you've been leading the fight in Missouri against the animal ID and premises ID successfully. So I want to have you back up separately in the next few weeks on that subject. But
okay.
Give your number.
417-948-2379.
All right, Russell, we'll talk to you again soon. Thanks for the time.
Thank you.
You bet. Now, I want to hurry. I got a few sponsors I want to tell you about that make this broadcast possible, and then we're going to go to our next guest who's holding patiently. First off, ladies and gentlemen, eFoods Direct. They are the best storable foods company out there, bar none. The longest continually operating, non-GMO, clean, healthy food. In these uncertain times, you need to have storable foods. You need to be prepared. You need to be off the grid because, again, we're going into a deep recession, could be a depression. There's so many reasons to have storable food, firearms, and to be self-sufficient. So please go to efoodsdirect.com. You'll never have to stand in the bread line if you have your own bread. It lasts more than 10 years. It's high quality, no MSG. Their toll-free number to call them is 800-409-5633, 800-409-5633, or efoodsdirect.com. Then there's also another great sponsor that we have that I want to tell the listeners about, and that is Akola Blue. And Akola Blue is an atmospheric water generator, and it grabs the water out of the air, 7-plus gallons a day with their smaller units, and then puts it through five different, well, really seven filters, because one filter has three elements, but five separate filtration systems, and it's the purest, cleanest drinking water you can find anywhere. I have one in the office, one at home. I absolutely love them. EcolaBlue.com, ECOLOBlue.com, or 866-585-4044, 866-585-4044. And all over the nation, on this feudalism issue of the people being enslaved with classical tyranny, they're trying to tell folks they've got to register their wells or put meters on their wells or tax them for their wells, even water wells for their homes, in some cases 100-year-old wells. Well, they're not going to be able to stop you getting water out of the air. Of course, I don't want to give them any ideas. EcolaBlue.com or 866-585-4044. We have to become self-sufficient. The establishment certainly doesn't want that to happen. Okay, we are joined next by Maurice Thompson, director of the 1851 Center for Constitutional Law, working with the Buckeye Institute, the case of the Manna Storehouse. A few years ago, this farming family, organic farmers, started buying other people's and producing their own organic foods, eggs and things like that, and they had a little storehouse in their home, and they would sell a few thousand dollars a month to their neighbors, or they would pool together to buy organic food and bring it into their community with just a few of their neighbors. Well, they got SWAT teamed brutally. And again, I see these cases all the time. I mean, we can have thousands dead on the Texas border from the drug war. We can have all sorts of corruption everywhere, trillions being stolen by brokerage firms, just out and out criminality. But the system is all focused on squeezing the cattle, milking the American people. Maurice Thompson, thank you for coming on with us.
No problem, Alex. How do you do?
Good, sir. Break down the facts of what happened in this case. Tell us about why you've joined the case and where this is going.
Certainly. Well, let me talk about the latter part first, and then I'll come back and circle around to the facts. First of all, your segue into this couldn't have been any better, even your advertisements, because that's what this is really about, is the most basic and fundamental of human rights. And it's a battle over what behavior we can engage in without a government permission slip. And this simple behavior is the behavior that our grandparents engaged in, and Americans for generations have, you know, which is riding down the road and picking up some food from the local farmer. The Buckeye Institute is an organization in Ohio dedicated to limited government, dedicated to free markets, and generally the right to be left alone by the government, so long as you're not hurting anybody else. And the reason we picked up on this case is because it implicates a couple really important concerns. One that I've already mentioned, which is what basic activity really deserves to be licensed and can be licensed under the Constitution. And the second is, when is it constitutionally permissible for officers to use this kind of force in raiding somebody's personal home? Now, if I can circle back around and talk about the facts of this case, the Stowers family is a family that lives in a very rural Amish part of Ohio. They themselves aren't Amish, but they're very religious. They have a great number of children in the house. They have eight of their own children. Six are young and still live there. And four grandchildren that are staying in the home, while the second oldest son is over serving in Iraq. His wife is staying with them. They're religious. They homeschool their children. They are classically independent, off-the-grid people. They don't rely on the government for their food or for their education. They've run this co-op, this family-run food co-op, for 6 to 7 years. And they have their own 20-some-acre small farm where they have sheep that they butcher for meat and goats, and they can get milk from them as well. And they've also got connections to Amish farmers who have grass-fed cattle and pastured chickens and pesticide-free produce. And they procure all these things through their co-op.
And Joseph Stalin wouldn't have liked this. Hitler wouldn't have liked this. For those that don't know, authoritarian states always shackle and control small farms. They hate people being independent. This is 180 degrees the opposite of what this republic is supposed to be. This is outrageous.
That's exactly right. You know, Thomas Jefferson envisioned a nation of small farmers.
Yeoman.
And right, exactly. And now what we have is small farmers being squeezed by these regulations. And, you know, it's one of two things. It really is either a government interest in really tightly controlling the food supply, or it's just government as a big dumb animal that backs its way into unsafe situations.
Well, to interrupt, I have a lot of their own documents where they say they've got to break down the family, break down the farm. The family's a disease, and they know people are exiting the cities. They're kind of going into Amish light by the hundreds of thousands a year.
Sure.
They see that trend going into the millions a year. I'm considering evacuating to the countryside, and I live right here in Austin, Texas, just because the cities are so degenerate, the culture is so evil, the crime is exploding, and they don't like it. The system does not want people going back to the land.
Well, but it's not, you know, it's not just nefarious government officials. It's government officials who are persuaded by special interest groups. And government really should not be the pliable tool of special interest groups, but all too often it is. If you look at the regulations they're charged with violating, they're charged with being a retail food establishment without a license. First of all, they're not even a retail food establishment. They're basically a members-only private membership organization buying club. It's as though, you know, if you and I wanted to buy the right kind of beef from an Amish farmer, we have to buy the whole cow.
Hey, this is free association.
Right.
If I want to go buy a duck or a chicken or a cow or a pig or their eggs, or if I want to get together with 10 families to pool money to buy organic food, I mean, this is ridiculous. This is disgusting. But I mean,
that's exactly right.
Let's get into the raid. I'll quit interrupting.
That's exactly right. And you know, the thing I was going to mention is that there are actually 22 exemptions to this retail food establishment law. But, you know, as Nobel economist Milton Friedman pointed out many years ago, the guys that are writing the licensure laws most of the time are the industry people themselves and their lobbyists. Everybody with a lobbyist sits down at the table and writes the law, and guess who gets left out of that process? The small family farmer, the organic cooperative runner, who doesn't have a lobbyist down in Columbus or down in Washington to exempt them. So you've got a number of people, you know, the government will argue this is a public safety issue, but the truth is there are a whole slew of people who run more dangerous food operations, if dangerous at all, than the Stowers family.
Well, look, they've shut down most of the family farms with regulations. We know animal ID and premises ID was openly written by big agribusiness to put expenses on small farms and ranches to bankrupt them. That's what big corporations always do. Let's get into the raid itself and,
sure,
and then where you're going with this.
Absolutely. Well, it's important to know some of the facts leading up to the raid. The health department came out and investigated these people, and we don't know why. There was never a report filed against them. None of their members are disgruntled. They're very, very happy with the products they get from this family because the food's cheap and it's good for them, and they're happy.
Just how dare Americans be working with their neighbors and selling chicken eggs? That's Al-Qaeda. Government's got to run everything.
Right. God forbid we have freedom to contract among the two consenting adults who want to protect their own health interests. Well, you know, there was never any report filed, but the health department came out, said they might need a license. The family responded by writing a letter to the health department asking for clarification on the law and asking for evidence.
Look, just being able to write probably angered the health department because the general public's on fluoride and Prozac going, they said, look, we got one that knows how to write. Send a SWAT team immediately. That's Al-Qaeda for sure.
Well, the health department didn't like it. You're right, because whenever individuals defend their rights against the government's never too happy because these people have some imperial hubris about them.
They do.
And
scum.
They didn't like the director of the health department didn't like the tone of the letter, so he brought in a higher, because it was inquisitive. It wasn't nasty at all. We have a copy of it. And
you write
brought
me a letter,
higher,
boy, I send a SWAT team. You think in America you can write a letter to the government? I'm sending armed men to show you.
Well, first they sent in an Ohio Department of Agriculture official who basically treated this like a drug investigation. He went undercover and tried to join the co-op as a member. Of course, they could, they could.
Yeah, they're shifting their whole fake war on drugs that they admit was really meant to get spies. Now they're shifting it onto organic farmers, see?
Right. War on drug tactics are dangerous, and they have been for a long time. And now we do see some of the issues with that, where these same drug war tactics are being used against people who everybody now has to acknowledge are not a danger to anyone. These are peaceful, religious people.
Oh, no, it's evil.
And these same tactics are being used. He went undercover. He surveilled them. He attempted to join their co-op.
He's a Stasi spy. This is like Russia, spying on a little farm. Go ahead.
Right, and for 2 hours, he tried to arm twist them into joining the co-op. They told him no. He told them a bunch of lies. He told them he had a sick mother, and these eggs, these unpastured chicken eggs would make her better. You know, can you please share these with me? They said they really weren't interested in dealing with him because they're a private membership organization. He continued to twist their arm. He wouldn't leave their house. Eventually, they said, here, just take the eggs and get out of here, please. And they
That's like the Mennonite farmer that said, okay, I'll give you milk. That's it,
right.
SWAT team, baby.
And that was an Ohio case, too, I believe.
Oh,
this
my
is
God.
The same Ohio Department of Agriculture that has been engaging in these activities. They're very much a rogue agency that's very much out of control and needs to be reined in. You're exactly right. And so, you know, he basically, 9 times out of 10 when I hear the word entrapment, it doesn't interest me because I think it's a little overblown. But this is a real case of the government manufacturing a crime.
Over eggs.
So they can catch a crime.
Eggs.
Exactly.
I mean, how many times growing up did we pull over and buy eggs at some little place where they're selling eggs?
Exactly.
But you can't
right.
do that in America. You got to buy it at Walmart. You got to buy a radiated egg. How
exactly.
dare you pull over and get a fresh egg? Oh my God! You probably
there is no more fundamental of right, especially when you're talking about basic food. You know, it really doesn't get any more fundamental.
But these parasites. Tell them what the parasites did.
Well, based upon this one alleged sale of eggs, this retail sale, quote unquote. The ODA agent went and procured a search warrant, and then he exaggerated the situation and got the right to search the family's entire personal residence, not just the part where the co-op was. So on December 1st in the morning, armed officers surrounded the house and then went in with guns drawn. The lead officer was a violent fugitive task force officer. That's his specialization.
Well, these are violent people.
That's right. And
people that make have chickens are Al Qaeda.
Well, that's
and they're with their black helmets and their machine guns. Oh, God, Americans with eggs. Oh, Lord. Oh, God, what am I going to do?
Well, and you know, the thing is, if they're, the police had no reason to be so forceful or to be scared and wetting themselves with concern over this family.
Except that FEMA teaches them that rural people are terrorists. Have you seen those training videos?
Well, if you look at the definition of terrorism in the Ohio Revised Code and then you compare it to what happened to these people, you may find that fits the facts of the crime.
That's right. Under the new Federal Patriot Act, any action that's a misdemeanor, basically, in Section 802. But tell folks, aiming guns at the children.
Well, to be fair, Alex, some of the blog facts initially reported were overblown, but that doesn't diminish the significance of
this. So these armed men, what did they do?
Right. This was not a SWAT team, but it was police using SWAT-like tactics. They burst through into the house after the door was opened, before they obtained any kind of consent to enter. They burst through the house. They locked it down as though it were enemy battle territory. They ushered the whole family by force into one small room where numerous agents from health departments and from the Department of Agriculture came in, combed over their entire personal residence, took all of their personal food. This is a family of 10 who had just butchered a large part of their herd of sheep. And they took all of this meat from this family.
And I'm sure the government targeted. I'm sure they targeted them to try to bankrupt them. That's also a tactic.
That's actually exactly right. They were trying to set up some sort of controlled buy, and they were waiting for this meat to get back to the family to do this. And, of course, they had to wait so long that they were outside of the scope of the warrant, which had actually expired by the time they did this. So they're in the house. They take all this. They take the personal computers of the family. They take the personal cell phones. They take everything from this family. And they still have a lot of these things. They've just given back some of the computers and cell phones, but they've kept the rest, and they're now looking to press criminal charges.
All right, stay there. I'm going to skip this break for the PrisonPlanet.tv viewers. Everybody else will be back in 3 minutes with our guest. Stay with us. All right, sir, we're going to skip this break, and we come back to the full audience. Some stations aren't with us now. I want to give out your website for folks to support you and to help you. And again, you know, I'm trying to illustrate how absurd all this is with all my screwing around, but I'm not screwing around. I mean, this is, for folks that don't know, is this not, I mean, as a constitutional lawyer yourself, classical Stalin-esque tyranny?
Well, here's the real problem. I think you're fairly correct. And you can, you know, the whole argument that this is a public safety issue is undermined by the fact that there are 22 exemptions to the law. I mean, and these are people that are treated no differently than the Stowers, or they treat their food no differently than the Stowers, other than it's an unconventional.
Why were the police so jacked up? I mean, why were they relishing putting so much manpower, not into missing children, not into car thefts, not into home invasions or rapes, but casing and spying and tracking egg sellers?
It's really not clear whether they're trying to enhance their own bureaucratic self-interest, trying to justify their existence as a bureaucracy. It's really not clear, but here's the important thing to know about your Fourth Amendment rights when it relates to search and seizure here, is that, you know, these paramilitary raids are on the rise, and they're on the rise for offenses like this, alleged offenses like this, that at best are licensure law violations. And the police don't have the right to use this kind of force on peaceful people. The reason that this knock-and-announce rule was put into place, and the only reason that it can be violated are when there's either, one, worry that the evidence is going to be destroyed, or two, there's worry that the people inside are armed and dangerous and going for their guns. And there was never any indication that these people were going to destroy
but
the
see,
evidence.
Now they say, you can't now they say the if you're a gun owner, though, that's their excuse to go after you.
Well, you know what? I wouldn't have been surprised to have seen that in the affidavit that procured the search warrant, but not even that much was alleged. There was no allegation in the affidavit that these people were dangerous.
Now, have they given back their food, or are they just letting it all spoil?
Well, right now, they're I've been told they're storing it in an undisclosed location somewhere, and they say that it's being kept frozen. We don't know.
Which will ruin it.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. We've asked for the food back, and we've asked for compensation in the event that they won't give the food back.
Well, you're suing them now.
Absolutely.
So when we come back in the final 5 minutes, I'm going to try to shut up and just let you finish up what really happened inside of there for the 6+ hours, and now where this case is going, and then, of course, give out the Buckeye Institute website, the Center for Constitutional Law, for our substantive audience, so they can, and then I want to have you back sometime in the near future for a full hour to explain to people their basic rights that if we don't fight for, will disappear. Here we go. If you don't fight for a right, it dies. We must animate our liberties, our freedoms. And the tyranny unfolding against humanity right now is just off the charts. You know, in the behind-the-scenes talk on PrisonPlanet.tv with our guest, Maurice Thompson, constitutional law scholar and director over there at the Constitutional Law Center with the Buckeye Institute. You were talking about paramilitary raids on peaceful people for, you know, tiny things that might be a $50 fine, though they had exemptions. Finish up with that, and then what happened in the raid, and then where the lawsuit's going, and give folks the website.
Sure, Alex. I'll reiterate what I told you over the break, and that is that one of the things we're fighting for here are people's Fourth Amendment rights. And, you know, courts have spoken to this issue over and over again for hundreds of years, and that is that there is a man's home is his castle, and there's a certain amount of dignity and privacy that people are allowed to be entitled to in the home. And that prohibits these kind of Russian forced paramilitary style raids unless they're absolutely necessary. And they're necessary either where there's imminent danger that the evidence is going to be destroyed, or where there's imminent danger to the police because people might go for their guns. Here, there was no allegation of that. And more common, we're seeing these kinds of raids on people where there is no worry about evidence and no worry about danger. Yeah. And we believe that that actually violates people's Fourth Amendment rights, because even if you've got a search warrant, the search and seizure has to be conducted reasonably. And we think that's inherently unreasonable.
So finish up with what happened in the house and where you're going from now.
Sure. Well, the authorities come in, they seize all the family's personal food supply, and they take a bunch of other food that actually belongs to other members of the co-op who haven't picked it up yet, since it had been delivered perhaps. They keep the family for 6 hours in this small part of the house as they do all these things. Small children who never, being homeschooled, are used to a peaceful environment and never experienced such a thing and are still a little bit shook up, not to mention how the parents view it. Well, they take all these things and they take off eventually.
They took computers too, right? Yeah.
They took the family's personal computer. They took the computers that the homeschool lessons are on, and they took the computers that the daughter uses to talk to her husband, who's fighting for our country in Iraq. Mm-hmm. They took all the family's personal cell phones. They took way more than they had a justification to take, and this happens pretty commonly. Again, these are drug war tactics, and this was a drug war style raid.
Well, they're going to turn that loose on everything.
Expansion. Right, we're seeing the expansion of those tactics.
And you were telling me they won't give the food back now, so who knows what's happened to it. Where does this go? You're suing them now. What are you suing them for?
Well,
how do we support you?
Well, here's what's important, is that the family is a religious, peaceful family. They're not out for blood. They're not even out for money. Arguably, they have a strong Section 1983 action for money from the officers for the violation of their constitutional rights, but they want two things. We're suing for an injunction declaring that these kinds of paramilitary raids on peaceful people are inherently unconstitutional and have to be stopped. We're suing for the court to declare that. We're also suing for a declaration that small family farms and co-ops do not require a government permission slip and are, in fact, exempt from the licensure law or need to be exempt under the licensure law, because under equal protection, these kinds of licensures were required for a large Giant Eagle or a Walmart produce section.
Yeah, I mean, what are they going to do, start raiding guys selling firewood or beef jerky or watermelons?
Yeah. Or how about lemonade stands? I mean, it could be anything. There's
all right, fire out the website. I want to have you back up for a full hour after the holidays to track what's happening. Fire out the Buckeye Institute so folks can support it.
It's www.buckeyeinstitute.org. We do need help with cases like this, and we want to bring more of these cases in the future. So any donations are great, and we can also donate to the family if people earmark it for that purpose. We're happy to take on these cases. We're happy to hear from people
right.
who have similar cases, and there's a video from the Stowers, and our legal filings are there, too.
BuckeyeInstitute.org?
Correct.
Thank you, sir. We'll talk to you again soon. Have a great weekend. And all of you have a great weekend. We'll see you back live 4 to 6 p.m. Sunday and back here live on Monday. Rebroadcast starts now on InfoWars.com.